want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitation for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video from Tom Monroe from his latest disc entitled Tom Monroe on a New Wavelength. And that's a pretty thing called Turning Japanese.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
Well.
How are you?
I'm fine. Japanese.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Yeah, me too.
Called Turning Japanese.
Japanese.
Cherry time.
There you go. All right, well, let's hear that one again. Let's hear it. Up to the Turning Japanese.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video from Tom Monroe from his latest disc entitled Tom Monroe on a New Wavelength. And that's a pretty thing called Turning Japanese.
That's the funny part. Turning Japanese.
And generally speaking, we are of one mind in our hatred of Rick Moranis. Moranis.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan, but that character, I also liked him in Ghostbusters.
Well, the cheese stands alone on that one.
You didn't like him in Ghostbusters?
I did not.
I liked him where he was the nerdy little accountant that lived across the hallway from Sigourney Weaver.
He's all right. How about some groaners?
How about that right now? Yeah, how about it?
America requests
them. How about that?
No, you don't want them.
I don't?
You don't want them. There's a trend with the groaners.
My microphone sounds weird today.
Same microphone as you were on yesterday,
right?
Why don't
the same microphone? It sounds different to me today.
You're sitting lower today. I think that might be it.
No, I think maybe it might be my headphone level.
Would you need a moment?
You're going to have to lean.
It's all the way over there.
You're going to have to lean forward.
Oh, I understand.
I'll wangle through.
Hold on. Rob, would you please be a deer?
Yeah, that's much better. Thank you, Rob.
This is how remote controls were invented.
Right.
Thank you.
You know, back in the day, you know, that's what Nero had to do. Mm-hmm. When he was, you know.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, he would go, you know, ESPN, chop, chop. No, up 2, 7, 9. Yeah, that's right.
Well.
So now, are you okay now?
I'm fine.
You don't need anything else?
Just a little sip.
Rob's holding the drink to his mic's lips.
He's just going
to
pour it down my throat.
You're gonna pour it down my throat, boy.
Owen!
Don't do that. So what's happening here...
Go ahead and get it on my blouse, dear.
What's happening here is that we're in day number two of the new totally computerized studios.
Yeah.
And because, the new robot.
Or as I like to call it, day one with no new chair.
And Mike's had to move his location from the corner of the studio more to a more center location.
Roomier.
And I have a stiff neck.
He's able to stretch out a bit more, which is part of the...
Yeah, but precariously stretch out. I wasn't able to stretch out as much in my other location, but it was secure. This is very precarious right now.
So you're teased by having the extra space, but
I could go over in a moment.
Not having the head support.
I like that. Some beautiful video from Tom Monroe from his latest disc entitled Tom Monroe on a New Wavelength. And that's a pretty thing called Turning Japanese.
DJ.
Jerry Todd.
Give me a moment, then some jokes. Hey, B.A.?
Yeah.
He really does need that chair.
I know, and that's when you called the first time. It was busy because I was calling Alan. Everything was given to Alan yesterday. I spoke with Alan last night.
No, darling.
No, never involve Alan in any process.
It'll never get here if it's given to Alan.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Alan wouldn't provide me with something to sit on.
But he has agreed to provide something for you to sit on.
Yeah, and you know what he would provide? Like a wicker chair.
No.
The chair yes, you picked no. out.
What, Beth Ann?
The chair that he picked out is the one he agreed to. And I said there were other expensive chairs, Alan.
Hold on, you picked out a chair already?
Yeah.
Beth Ann got on the internet and brought in 5 chairs for me to look at, and I picked out the one that I thought looked sturdiest.
And yet still comfortable.
Did we get that in the vinyl or the cloth?
We got it in the cloth because it was only available in the cloth.
Mm,
yeah, that could be a problem.
Yeah.
Cloth could be a problem.
Well, you know, with 3 of us, when you consider the 3 individuals sitting on that chair will be me, Hefe, and Ron Bennington.
You should try to upgrade
the
vinyl.
We might want to get vinyl or leather.
Vinyl or leather.
Yeah.
Okay, that particular style was not available in vinyl or leather.
Right,
okay,
right. Anyway, you know,
just get something in here, and if I don't like it, I'll let you know.
Okay? Remember when we talked about Mike? This is why, even if he says, don't get me food, this is why you should have gotten him the chair. He should have had the chair today.
Today.
He should have had it today.
Yeah, it's a long show.
Okay, I hear you. Thank you very much.
Bye, Beth.
Bye, Beth Ann. And you're doing a great job.
Good luck.
Thank you for the compliments.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hey, what's happening? This is Detective Michael Scott Shannon.
And I'm Milburn Drysdale, waiting for today's selection of fine groaners.
Pending league approval, Shaq will be traded from the Lakers to Miami. Shaq will still miss foul shots just 3 hours earlier.
Oh.
Here's one that says, careful, Chester.
Oh, that means it's controversial.
It'll be good.
Marlon Brando left behind $21.6 million. Mm-hmm. Of course, most of it was in petrified bowel movements.
Boy, that's really going to the line there, Mr. Shannon.
The good news? Indiana Jones 4 is not dead. The bad news? By the time filming begins, Harrison Ford probably will be.
God.
God. I know.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I don't
can't even
remember.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
And then you have the groaners, and please to be noticing the
that wasn't the groaner?
No, those were just the jokes.
Oh, so these are the groaners.
These are the joke groaners, the completely lame groaners. There's three of them. See if you can notice the trend. Where do most pirates go to buy music online? iTunes.
Oh, my God.
What song by the 80s supergroup Survivor do pirates just love?
I am the tiger.
Right, Mr. Drysdale.
Thank you.
And finally, what song by 80s icon Kim Carnes do pirates love?
Betty Davis.
Aye. Completely lame groaners, yeah. As asked for by America.
It's flawed because pirates don't say I. Pirates say
R.
Me hearty.
And again, Rob, and you know, we're not paying for this.
No.
Which is why we continue to bring you this high level of quality during the pre-show.
They should pay us.
What's the company? What's the name of this?
The Complete Sheet.
The Complete Sheet.
The Complete Sheet. Very exciting.
For all you jocks out there. And now.
Hey now.
The Don and Mike Show.
Okay, here we go.
He was a neo-Nazi.
Nabbit.
One true enemy.
I know.
Himself.
I know.
A man of faith.
Right.
A man of hate.
Yeah.
His soul torn apart.
Correct.
Your discretion advised.
Wrong button, dummy.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Oh, and it's dummy. The dummy is me. That was just me talking to me. Okay, there you go. Hi, now, how about Rob's guys? There you go. There's Rob's guys.
I hate them. Kill them.
And then here's Rob's thing again.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi.
Right.
With one true enemy. Himself. A man of faith. A man of hate. And a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Rob's Speedway.
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Bluehorn. And all the ships at sea.
Hello.
I don't. They are experts in active sex. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Thank you, Robbie.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
Hello.
Don and Mike Show, new episode. What, Mike?
Your hands are flying over there.
New episode on this Tuesday.
Tuesday 07.
1304.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. And yeah, that's how you do it.
Is it me because I, or maybe I didn't notice it, maybe because I didn't notice it. Is it me or the total area, surface area that your hands are flying? I mean, you're going from one side of the studio to the next.
Yeah,
correct
aerobic.
Me if I'm wrong. It used to kind of be right in front of you, right?
It used to be a little bit more.
You're going up here, down here, around here,
well,
a workout.
It's the magic of the touch screens.
Right.
It's the magic of the touch screens. We're embracing it now. At least it works.
Yeah.
At least it ain't broken all the time.
Yeah, it's just it seems to me, observing you, that your hands have to travel a little further, and you have to kind of turn away. And
maybe
do
you've
all
not
that.
Noticed this, Mike. I could stand to lose, I think, 3 pounds. You know, I'm very close to being a size 2.
This right.
You know, and my doctor says, don't worry about it. You're a size 4. And, you know,
don't kill yourself just for a dress size.
Right. Yeah, well, You know, there's a beautiful size, too, that I'm dying to get into.
You know, with the right pair of shoes, it just doesn't matter.
So here's the phone number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. From Canada, you have to call 800-636-1067 in Washington, D.C. on WJFK. Call us at 202-432-1067. A couple of things from my neighborhood that I wanted to point out. First, who says seriously that I am not a man of the people? Not but one of you, one of all of us, just a citizen of the world.
I love these stories.
Regular guy.
That I often talk about when I'll pull into the Exxon station or go to the CVS or go to Safeway, somebody will say something to me. Well, today I have hard evidence of what the guy at the Exxon station said to me. And I wrote a note along with the evidence that he gave me. I pull up, and oh boy, am I happy to see those gas prices going up again.
Yeah, isn't that delightful? They teased us for about 3 weeks, and now they're going back up again.
Right.
So they're way up. But I mean, they're back where they were before the 4th of July.
Crazy high.
They're nutty, and so I'm just standing there watching, going, God. You know, it's like $30, and it's like, what is that, 9 gallons or whatever has been put into, you know, my ridiculous gas mileage car. So I'm just looking at the thing going round and round, and the guy from the gas station comes over and says, hey, how you doing? Now, I don't this is an Exxon station. It's my Exxon station. Mm-hmm. And I really don't know. The guy's name is Tony or Jerry or Tommy.
How you doing?
he's one of those guys that's got...
Thanks for coming up for your latest fill-up.
Jerry Todd.
Yeah, my name is Jerry Todd.
This is not Jerry. Anyway, he comes up and catches me by surprise because I'm just standing there and, you know, like a zombie staring at the numbers going around. And he says, hey, I got something for your show. You should talk about this on your show. This was today, I wrote the time, 1:30 p.m. today.
Right.
So just, you know, 90 minutes ago. Mm-hmm. He said, look at this. Now, Mike, I'm going to hand you what he handed me.
Okay.
This is what he handed me, and I told him I would bring it in. This is what is bothering people. This is what is on people's minds.
All right.
Can you identify those objects I've given to you, Mike?
Well, they appear to be two pennies that seem to have been damaged.
Yes, they're pennies that have been whittled down to... Rob, take a look at those and see if you can describe them as well. And I'll tell you exactly what the problem is, at least in my Exxon. Okay,
whittled
Rob,
down pennies.
How would you describe that?
You don't think I'm capable of... Did I whip?
No.
All right,
there is perhaps another word besides whittled down.
The edges are gone, as if broken off. They're not perfectly round anymore.
Not Mike.
Did he blow it too?
Yeah.
It's
what are you looking for here?
They appear to
be antiques or maybe in a fire.
They're so thin.
They're not that thin. I'm kidding. I'm joking.
Anyway, here's the thing.
Right.
Because I have the same reaction. The guy puts them in my hand. Uh-huh. Two of them, I go...
They appear damaged. They appear like maybe they were set on the railroad track.
I go, what's the deal with this? And he says... And I wrote this, and I'm writing this down. I said, hold on, I'm going to write this down.
Yeah, I'm fascinated to know where this is going.
This pisses him off.
Oh, my.
People are passing these.
No.
Oh,
please,
I see. Please, when you... And I guess this is a state of our economy as well.
Right.
The people are using... People are using pennies at the Exxon in Great Falls.
He's not happy with the damaged currency? Is that what it is?
And he wishes, I believe the message is, to people to stop bringing these less than...
Desirable?
Perfect, less than perfect pennies, because... He refuses to accept them anymore.
This is actually flaking off. You know, I bet if you put this in a first-class envelope and mailed it to the Mint, they'd send you a replacement.
They'd send you a brand-new one?
Sure, it only costs you 37 cents.
Hey, Bethan?
Those are ugly.
They are. Hideous.
Have they tried to make them dime size?
I don't follow this totally.
No.
Would you give that to Bethan and have her call and see if you get the guy? Because I don't get, but he was...
He's appeared to have been run over by something.
He was fired up, and I don't know if this is an epidemic just in my subdivision or throughout this, you know, fruited plain.
But that's not currency.
Well...
Right, that's what he's saying, I guess.
He's mad that people are trying to pass that off as currency.
I don't blame him one little bit.
So that's it's something, a penny. You know, we'll see if we can get the
And
guy
you told him you could help.
Well, what am I going to do? The guy said...
You're a man of the people.
He put them into my hand, and he said, you have to talk about this on your show.
I'm trying to get a deal.
Your responsibility, then.
And I said, okay. No, I don't think they're antiques, Mike. And then there was another thing that I noticed that just upset me to no length. Now, my kid, as you heard yesterday, if you're listening at this time, I've not exactly turned out the poster child. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I'm very proud of him.
You got to finish that. You haven't exactly turned out the poster child.
The poster child for perfect kids.
For perfect kids. Okay. Yeah. I was going to comment to you that I was mightily impressed by your boy.
I love him. He's
as far as his, and strictly on the comedy gene. He possesses the comedy gene.
He's funny. He's great. Smart. He's smart. I love him, but he's got so many flaws. You know, as we all know.
Oh, he's 19.
But here's the thing. Okay, so you heard Mike, and he turned out semi okay. Mm-hmm. I was a dad that did everything with him. We did.
You were. I don't think you lap other dads as well.
We did Pinewood Derby. I coached T-ball.
It was always you. I remember on the weekends as he was growing up. It was always you taking, like, all the other kids down to the amusement park.
But hold on. Thank you very much for that, but this is not where I was going. My point is that I had done the nightmare of coaching sports when he was 9, 10, 11, 12, and for a long time I would come in and scream about the parents that were over the top.
Yeah. Right.
Well, as I'm filling up with gas today, the car that pulls up next to me is a... Boy, I was just taking notes like crazy today. It was a Ford Windstar van.
Uh-huh. Minivan.
Now, the entire back window, I'm sure you could not see out the back window from in the car.
Minivan, but, car of the idiot.
Because what the mom had done, it was definitely a mom's handwriting. She had done, now not written in soap, like when you soap up windows, but had some type of spray paint, not real paint, obviously.
A lot of times they use white shoe polish for that.
Yeah, okay, Buzz, that's probably what it was. Well, here's what it said on the back of this car. Oh, hold on a second. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, is this the guy at the Axon?
Yeah, this is Mike, man. How you doing, man?
Hey, Mike, what's happening? You're the guy that gave me the pennies today, right?
Yeah, man, what's up with those pennies, man?
Okay, now, why does that piss you off, those pennies? How many people come to that Axon and use those pennies?
But it's not that. I mean, they'll come and just drop off, like, a boatload of pennies, you know, it depends, you know, sticky pennies, nasty green pennies, but those were the worst pennies I've ever seen in my life.
I would say I've never seen pennies in worse shape than those. Do you think people are targeting your gas station for these penny drops?
No. I have no clue, but I mean, that's just pretty foul penny, man. That's the worst, one of the worst pennies I've ever...
Do you care?
I mean, what is on it? I mean, Abe's head's got a hole through it.
Yeah, it does.
It's a penny, though. This is a penny.
Well, Buzz,
but it might not be legitimate currency.
Well, okay.
It's that damn
well, not anymore.
But listen, it bothered Mike. Coincidentally, I thought his name was Tony or Johnny, but obviously his name is Mike. It bothered Mike to the point that he came up to me, you know, as a person who has a radio show, to say, "Hey, look at this. Talk about this."
Right, mine.
This is pissing me off.
Right.
Yeah, there you go,
Mike. Do you own the service station?
No, I don't. No, I don't.
You're one of the key employees there.
Yeah, I just work here. Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah, and he's a good guy. Let me just. It's always good to know a guy at a gas station when you have to get a car through inspection.
Oh yeah.
Right. Always good to know a guy.
Yeah, I've helped Don out before, man.
All right. Yeah, he's okay. So anyway, the message would be: stop it with the flawed pennies, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
And
all
clean them.
Yeah, okay, see you, Mike.
All right, man, take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's good. He doesn't like the green ones either.
That's gonna go a long way.
You know, I just wanted to give some proof that, you know, I know sometimes I come in and say, the guy at Safeway said this to me, or the guy at the bank said this. I mean, really.
He sounded like a real guy that worked at a gas station.
Yeah.
He was.
He was, yes. come on, tell the truth. He was a paid actor.
Oh, yeah, right. Sure he was.
Alan asked if he could have the pennies.
Yes, drop them outside his office door.
Watch him dive.
And watch him dive for him.
So while I'm standing there filling up with gas, after I have the conversation with Tommy, Johnny, Mike.
You got up to the point where the lady in a Ford Windstar van came in with the writing on the back window.
Right. Now, here's what's in the back window, written in large letters. You cannot see anything in or outside except this. You see in the lower, actually the entire left-hand side, it says, "Go... comma, fight," which is written in large letters, and then "win." And "win" is underlined three times with two exclamation points. Then next to that, there's a line as if to separate that message, and it says, "Go Great Falls All-Stars, age 9-10. So that's written as we continue to draw the back of this minivan. And then, and the other, the right-hand side, it says, Come on, boys. You got it! Exclamation point. And what I wanted to do was just say to this bitch, honey, listen.
This angered you greatly.
Evil, this evil woman. Listen, baby. These kids, these boys, they're playing a game. Maybe they made the All-Star team. That's fantastic.
You think it did it strike
I'm really
you?
Sorry that you didn't get asked to the prom, you stupid bitch, but don't take it out on your kids by putting this on the back of the car. They should be having fun instead of having the neurotic, uptight mother writing in gigantic letters on the back of the car, go, fight, win. Come on, boys. You got it.
Wow.
9, 10-year-old all-stars. God, you stupid bitch.
Wow, that's three bitches that you threw out there.
Really?
This angered you greatly.
Well, Mike, I remember this from when Bart was a little kid. It's the whole attitude.
Did it strike you that it was baseball or soccer? Or
No. The sport didn't matter. The fact you're talking about.
Back of memory.
Might have been spelling bee.
9-year-old and 10-year-old kids.
Right.
I have a 9-year-old.
Right. And congratulations, if you have a kid, your kid plays a sport, well, that's fantastic.
Yeah, but I know at 9 years old, the All-Star team is really kind of subjective. You know what I mean? Yeah, there are kids that are better, but I mean, at that age, I don't know what the sport is, but at 9 years old, you're still kind of learning the sport.
But there are professional parents out there.
Oh, they're incredible. Yes.
And this is what this woman is. Now, can you imagine this? You're going to get the kids ready. Wouldn't a mom, a normal mom, say, you know what I'm going to do to get the kids ready? Maybe I'll get some juice boxes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get a pizza.
Get them a pizza. Maybe run them a video. Whatever they want.
Maybe not a video, a video.
Yeah, good. Run them all, y'all. I got so good at turning Japanese.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video from Tom Monroe from his latest disc entitled Tom Monroe on a New Wavelength. And that's a pretty thing called turning Japanese.
Anyway, I'm sure she meant well.
Did you see her?
Yes.
Pretty?
Actually, quite.
Yes?
Quite.
Did she look driven? Did she look intense?
She looked like she's been in a plastic surgeon's office. She looked chiseled. She looked perfect.
Right.
She scared me. She scared every fiber of my body was petrified by this woman who had, of course, on the visor.
The visor. Yeah, I hate those.
And the sunglasses on top of the visor.
Ah, perfect uniform.
The hair in the perky ponytail and happily talking on the cell phone.
Talking on the cell phone.
Oh, yes, and this, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Meanwhile, on the card screaming, you know, go till 9-year-olds win, win game. 9-year-olds win, 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 win.
Driven.
Jesus. You know, yeah, driven. That's your job. Your job is to drive your kids from one game to the next. That's it.
She was excited.
Jesus. Those poor kids. You know, just save your money, honey.
Do you think she had any idea? Do you think she had any nonverbal clue? Do you think that at any moment that she may have looked sideways during her cell phone conversation and seen your eyes glaring at her like a killer cobra?
Impossible. The only reason that she wouldn't was because I was still holding the two deformed pennies in my hand.
You know, you were really, as far as the show prep goes, you were really multitasking today.
Yeah.
I mean, you were memorizing the whole thing about the penny and then... and then looking at the lady.
I got a whole list of things I wanted to talk about, but all of this just happened to me 20 minutes ago.
Right. Well, don't get me started on minivans in general. Because, you know, back, I guess it was 15 years ago when I alienated the whole trucking community.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very prepared at this point to replace truck drivers with minivan drivers. And, you know, and I know I'm going to alienate a large segment of our audience when I say...
Hey, I might join you and pony up to you on this one.
It is the vehicle of the idiot. If I'm in a traffic situation, I am not lying. If I am in a traffic situation.
Trademark that. Although, hold on.
It is the vehicle of the idiot.
What's the Honda that I hate? The Odyssey?
The Odyssey, it's a minivan.
I believe the Honda would have to be the Rolls Royce of idiot cars.
I'm not sure. I would say you could make a really good case for the Dodge Caravan, which, you know, it's one of the original minivans. Mm-hmm. But the minivan, if I am in a complicated traffic situation, as I was driving home last night when my commute was once again foiled by a major accident on a major interstate, I will tell you that if I'm in a complex, lane-changing, make-a-decision traffic situation and there is a minivan involved, you must use extra care and you must think ahead. Because if you don't think ahead, you have to rely. You have to count on the fact that the minivan driver will do something completely stupid. Whether it is a dramatic change in speed, whether it is a lane change that is unauthorized.
You know, I was gonna get with you, but now the more that you're getting worked up about this, the more maybe you can stand alone on this one as well. Then I think
Then I'm all and then ladies paint those windows. But I will point out to you that that window that was painted was on the back of a minivan.
And the saying that I do like that I will quote you on is minivans are what?
Minivans are the vehicle of the idiot. Because really, if a woman is in a minivan, a woman is normally thinking, driving would probably be, driving the car on her list of priorities at that time would probably be 25th or 26th on her list, as far as really paying attention to what they're doing. If a man is in a minivan, it's very simple. He opens the door to the minivan, then he reaches into his pocket, goes through that little hole in his pocket, and removes his testicles, and puts them in a jar, leaves them at home for his drive in the minivan.
Did you never, during your times with your kids, ever have a minivan?
Never. Never. Dang.
I did.
A sport utility vehicle. Now, during your time in the minivan, didn't you feel emasculated when you get into that thing, which is basically a golf cart with fenders?
I did. My minivan, and I never thought I'd have to defend it. It had mag wheels.
Cool. Now, I'm not including vans.
No,
your full-size van is A-OK.
Think about that.
Your full-size Shark Tank shag carpet hippie van still is perfectly acceptable.
Thank you.
But the minivan?
I'm afraid we had one. I'm sure we did when Bart was little. I'm sure we did.
And I'm sure that I'm alienating a lot of people. But I'm also speaking to a lot of fathers and husbands out there that are probably saying, yes, you are so right. You are so right.
Let's just see. Hello, Dan. Don and Mike show. Hello, Dan.
Yes, Mike. You are so right.
Thank you, sir.
But regardless, my wife is a cheer mom.
Your wife is a what?
A cheer mom.
What's a cheer mom?
What is a cheer mom?
All right. You know those little teeny bopper 6-year-old cheerleaders that go to the football games and the basketball games and cheer?
Hold on. You know, I've seen signs in my neighborhood for something called cheer stock.
Yeah.
Which I guess is like everything's like Woodstock. It's cheer stock, like a festival for cheerleaders. Okay. Anyway.
A cheer mom.
Don?
Yeah?
You are just on the tip of the iceberg, man. You have no idea.
Okay, what part of the show are you talking about?
I'm talking about the vans, the riding on the back.
Okay, oh, now we're talking about riding on the back of
the vans. He's basically agreeing with both of us, and this is a right-thinking American here. Absolutely.
Oh, my God, these people are crazy. When they go to these cheer competitions.
Oh, this is what your wife does, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I got a 6-year-old daughter. She goes out, and she's cheering, and she's all about cheering, and I'm kicking myself for not making a boy.
This is what goes through his mind.
That's a strong statement. Okay.
Kicking myself for not making a boy. Yeah.
Now we have... Oh, here you go.
It's his fault.
Let's turn on the Dynamike homophone.
Okay.
We're going to have a man named Ben who's going to stick up for minivan.
Oh, here we go. Hey, Ben.
Welcome to the homophone.
Hi, Ben. Go ahead.
Hey, both of you need to F off.
Unix says what?
My wife has a minivan.
Uh-huh. No, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Your family, you have a minivan.
Correct, and it's the third one. Oh. And yesterday...
Oh, my God. Oh.
You're a lifer.
Go ahead, Charles Nelson Riley.
Hey, yesterday we washed all the All-Star names off the window.
All right. He disagrees with us.
Get out of here. Hold on. Okay, hold on. Sticking up for minivan moms. Hello, Lisa.
Hello, Don and Mike. How are you guys doing?
Hi, Lisa. How's it going? Having another day of getting everything you want?
Absolutely not. I've got four kids in the back screaming at me.
Too great.
Three different games.
That's too great, Mike. Wow. You know, I think if there's any,
I got it. I just keep it in check because, you know, I am not currently living with someone.
Yeah, I know you're not.
But I just keep them filed away. I have my thoughts.
Yeah. All of you these college students out there might want to analyze this. I'm going to look inside the Mike mind.
How are you? Go ahead. I interrupted you, Lisa.
Yes, you did. And I am not getting everything I want. I would rather just
you're not
sitting in front of the TV, like I'm sure most men do, So therefore, Lisa, they have 25.
Darling, Lisa. Before you argue with my good friend Mike about the minivan in particular. What about these crazy, steroided-up moms?
And may I make a point? I think I maybe misspoke when I said, is she getting everything she wants? It was an unfair question, because you could never have that question answered in the affirmative.
No.
That could never be answered. Yes, everything I wanted
today.
Dream
the impossible dream.
Yeah, never. Never be satisfied.
However, my point was simply about the soccer moms and soccer dads that go gung-ho. And
I horned in on your thing here. I'm sorry about that.
They paint crap on the back of cars. You know,
okay, yeah, I don't have anything painted on the back of my car.
You should. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no soccer.
Lisa, why a minivan over an SUV?
Actually, I have a Toyota Land Cruiser.
It doesn't count.
Get out of here.
But she is getting everything she wants.
You're disqualified.
Toyota Land Cruiser.
What? She really did.
She didn't even have a minivan.
Land Cruiser.
I've got the Land
Cruiser. What I have is called a Toyota Land Cruiser.
Hello. Mike, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don Aldo and Miguel.
Hey, hold on. Hold on, what's happening?
You know, every once in a while I have to take my daughter to school, and we have to get in what's called the mommy line. And it seems that almost every time we do this, there's this woman in a minivan talking on her cell phone.
Right.
Who drops off her kids like they're in the 82nd Airborne. The doors fly open. The car is still moving. She's talking on her cell phone with one hand, cup of coffee in the other, steering with her elbows.
Right.
As the kids roll out of the vehicle. Never comes to a stop.
Because it's really not up, you know, there are just too many things on the plate.
Hello.
What it is, things to do.
Yeah.
Peter, Don and Mike show. Peter.
Hey, Don and Mike. I just wanted to say.
Oh, my, Peter.
I just wanted to say that the mom you probably saw was a swim mom. Swimming, like, swim team, 9 and 10-year-old.
I was thinking it might be a swim team.
You know, maybe it was just, baseball was my thought. But either way, even if it was swim, that's still ridiculous over-the-top pressure to put on a kid.
Yes, too much. There's too many moms and dads out there that want their kid to be like the kids in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe those kids can go drown their mom tonight. That'd be wonderful at the swim meet. You just get all...
I'm sure it happens. I'm sure it happens on occasion.
Together.
The pressure was just too much. Mommy was in the pool.
Can you imagine her going, you came in second after I painted the car? No! Laps! More laps!
I love you. I love you.
As the kids are going, hey, don't we have like some water sound effects?
Yeah, we have Letterman in a bathtub.
Oh, that'll work.
I love you, mommy.
No matter what. Well... You know, see, when the computer is totally hooked up...
Yeah. Right, we won't need to do that anymore.
In theory, we should just be able to press a button that says water sound.
Right,
and
exactly.
It should be able to come up.
Yeah.
Well, never mind.
Someday.
Anyway, one kid would probably... Oh, there we go. Okay. All right, well, how about that? So...
He's going to swim the laps again.
Your mom is a robo-bitch. She makes us swim all these laps. You know, there's 12 of us and only one of her.
Get her in the pool.
I'll grab her legs. Who wants to hold her under?
We got her.
Help me, you're going to win. Fight and win.
It's an evil scenario we're painting here.
Yes, it is.
And yet plausible. Mm-hmm.
And that's the kids have a little party afterwards.
Yeah, I'll go to
Charles Cheese. Have a good time. My man, Charles E. Cheese. Okay, all right, enough of that. Listen, do you remember this guy when he was on the show? You would have to be a long-time listener to remember a guy named Bill Godwin.
Oh, my God.
He was a guy that was in our Let's Call Every Once in a While Wacky Story File.
Right.
This is a guy that came across our desk maybe 10 years ago.
Right.
A guy who believes he's Jesus. Has had gay sex, has had... Hold on.
He's had bisexual sex with over 1,000 partners.
That's right.
He's a handful, isn't he?
He's just pulled out all his teeth.
And he was a guy... Rob brought his bright attention, said, Rob says, do you remember a guy named Bill Godwin?
Right.
I go, no. He goes, do you remember the guy who said he was Jesus and said a bunch of dirty words that we had to bleep out?
It's a little controversial.
Yeah, I remember. And... he's coming back on the show. Now, Now, did he know that he's coming back on? He kind of remembered us from 7 years ago, right?
Yay and nay. Mm-hmm. He sort of remembered that he had trouble with a show on WJFK radio.
Uh-huh.
And I told him I didn't remember any such trouble.
Does he sound like he's pulled all his teeth?
He sounds very Bill Godwin-y. You'll enjoy the sound of this man.
Good.
So, as far as we all know, we've never had him on before.
Okay. All right, so anyway, that's Bill Godwin. He's in the next break, right?
Right.
Oh, then I don't have time. You'll love listening to that. Mike, you'll get a charge out of this whenever I get around to this. We're bringing back the Secret Sound Contest.
Ah, very good.
Ah. And this time we're going to do it because we have actually some cash to give away. We'll do this a la Big Money, so every day we'll add at least $100 to the jackpot. We'll play the game every day and then give away thousands of dollars.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah, I like that. Some beautiful video.
So, I go to Rob and I say, let's put our heads together with some secret sounds. And Rob goes out and scouts all the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
The first one he came up with, I've decided, is too impossible for any radio contest.
Well, that's the tradition of Rob.
No, perfect,
for this game.
So impossible, so impossible to explain that you would never have anybody guess what the sound was, even if you told them. Even if I told you this is the sound of this doing this, you would still go, how does that work?
Is it a clicking sound?
Of course it is, my good man.
I disagree. I think you're overstating it. I think it's quite possible.
Either way,
he's the listener's friend.
Either way, we're not using this as our first secret sound when we start the contest.
Good.
And we don't.
Do you have it?
I do. I'm going to play it for you now. I'm not going to tell you what it is just yet. We'll get to it later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
We'll tell you what the sound is. Mm-hmm. We'll have Rob bring the item in and show you how he got the sound to make the sound, and then you'll understand why I, at least more than Rob, am the listener's friend.
Right.
I vetoed this. I said, there's no way anybody is ever going to get this. So having said all of that,
is it a brittle bone breaking?
Here is the new secret sound that Rob wanted to use.
God. There it is.
Now, it'll piss you off. Hey, listen, if you're still listening, Mike, at the Exxon, if you are mad about those pennies, you're really going to be mad when you find out what that sound is. Hi, Joe.
It's a stapler.
No!
Get out of here.
Joe. No, I know it's a stapler, Don.
All right, come on, Joe.
It's a stapler, Don.
Is it a briefcase closing?
Get out of here. No. No, it's not. It's none of those things. But
that's a great sound.
There it is again. When you'll understand. I'll come back to this later in the show, and then you'll understand why everyone will want to beat Rob about the head.
the degree of difficulty is amazing.
Yes. I don't see any amount of clues that could. And even if you gave out the clue and you said what it was, there would still be a certain percentage of people that would still go, I have no idea what that is.
I do believe it's in the top three of our hardest ever.
And he's so pleased with himself.
Wow. And it's the first one that's ever been vetoed.
Right.
It's not going to make the air. So, listen, we're not even going to enter into it. I was going to say, call in now and guess, but don't call and guess because you'll never guess it.
Right. Is it the cigarette letter popping out on a minivan?
No.
And Buzz, are you actually writing something down?
I'm writing down a guess for later. I don't want to say it now.
Bless your soul. Hold it up now.
You're medically sealed.
Hold it up now. Or just say it.
You can say it. We're not going to be using it.
Well, I was going to say a VCR rewinder closing.
No, it is not
a VCR rewinder closing.
Obvious.
He's disappointed.
Yeah. Obviously.
Hey, you take a shot.
You moron.
That was obvious.
Everybody knows that.
Hi, Michelle.
There you go. Quick. Who's Michelle? Oh, Michelle just walked by?
Right. Michelle. She's with child, you know. Yes. And I don't buy a minivan. So I was just telling her, because she has the baby, don't buy a minivan.
Or a stroller.
Don't buy a stroller. We'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, I get it. You're joking. Well, I've got a sense of humor. I laugh at Tony Danza. Of course, if you aren't joking, I feel bad and I apologize.
I laugh at Tony Danza.
I laugh at Tony Danza. I laugh at Tony Danza.
All right, that's it.
The Don and Mike Show.
They share common interests. Don and Mike.
We do. We are interested in radio in Las Vegas. KSFM. Pittsburgh, WURP, Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Is it Wilkes-Barre or Wilkes-Barre?
Wilkes-Barre, I think.
Mm-hmm. Warm, WARM. And how about Iowa City, Iowa? KCJJ.
could you please to indulge me just a very brief final thought? I feel I need to explain my behavior.
About the minivan?
Just very briefly.
Sure.
Mr. Burbank, during the break out in Cancer Corner, asked me why this thing about the minivan, and you know, why would another vehicle be superior? And I just want to offer this final thought.
Yeah. Sure.
In the event, this is just to bring it all together. In the event that in my vehicle, if I chose to in my vehicle get into some sort of homicidal altercation with a minivan, that I would be able to hurl my minivan into the side of a Nissan Quest or whatever it is, and send everyone on board to the promised land whilst my daughter was not even dropping a chicken McNugget.
You mean while you're driving your tank?
My tank, which really, in the event of a national emergency, could be used to ferry survivors to the highest point of land.
Cool. Available. You would not do that.
No. I'm just saying that's it. You know,
none of us would.
None of us would. You mean ferry people to higher ground?
You would drive. No, I had gone so long, sucker, just like I would.
For the purposes of illustration, you know, I was just touting the superiority of the large gas guzzling vehicle capability to drive up a mountain slope.
Don't worry. Let Frank Gifford say it best.
Very good.
I thought seriously about driving home one night, how easy it would be to take my little Mercedes convertible and stick it in that abutment on the side.
Not that easy if he was driving a big SUV.
No.
Now you
wouldn't
you'd
be that
survive.
Easy.
Yeah. You'd survive, and the children might not even be aware.
Tomorrow on the show, we're giving away two separate vacations to Atlantic City to go to Trump Plaza to see the HBO fight Saturday, July 24. That's courtesy of HBO. We'll give away two of those trips tomorrow
cool.
on the show. Plus, tomorrow, make sure you watch The Amazing Race tonight on CBS.
CBS.
We'll have the losers from The Amazing Race tonight. They'll be on the show tomorrow. And from my radio past, which is now our radio past, since everything I talk about, you guys, after a while, the people that I've talked about enough, you know from me talking, and other ones you've gotten to know, like Mike, you know George McFly.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Anyway, he's been calling again.
Ah, good.
And I just got an electronic mail from an old program director.
Hmm.
And I think it would be, there's a phone number involved. It'd be wonderful to call him, maybe not on today's show, but maybe tomorrow, give him a ring.
Sure. One that you were on speaking terms with?
Well, yeah, this is a good guy. His name is Bill Garcia. And here is the deal with this guy. He hired me in New York.
Right.
And then I was just a jerk face. And he didn't fire me as much as I quit just because I wouldn't listen to him.
Yeah, he's the guy that took you to a show.
Then he, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
that's right.
We can ask him about that. He's the guy. I had never been in New York City before. He said, I want to show you what New York's all about. We went to a live theater where there were people having sex on stage.
Yes, I remember that. See, I remember that.
And he said, that's what New York's about.
I listen, and I remember.
And then he hired me in Indianapolis, and he got fired in Indianapolis shortly after he hired me.
Well, no good shows there.
And then he... Then he hired me in Detroit, and because I am a loving human being, I quit 2 weeks after he hired me for the third time.
Oh, that's difficult.
But I had told him going in when he hired me on this job, I said, I'm only going to leave for one of two radio stations in the entire country, and then 2 weeks later, one of the stations called. Anyway,
go figure.
So he's called, and it'd be fun to have him on the air.
Yeah, I don't know if he remembers me or not, but I worked for him as well, and we didn't get along.
Oh, really?
Oh, no.
Wow,
he
really?
Called me a loose cannon, and he made me play Brenda Lee and Kingston Trio records.
Well, then I'll definitely call him on tomorrow's episode.
Very good.
And, I told you Amazing Grace. Now, Bill Godwin. This guy, Bill Godwin, he believes he's Jesus. He's had sex with thousands. He's not a heterosexual. He's not a homosexual. He's bisexual. He's not been on our show in over 7 years. He's had his teeth pulled out. But that's not as bad as the 100 electroshock treatments that he's received for his bipolar disorder.
Yeah. Wow.
And that, of course, is what most people around here have. That's when you're either exceedingly high and happy or low and depressed.
Very good.
Bob Brown, I believe, says he suffers from that, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Doesn't B-squared say that that's what he's
doing? Bipolar.
And that's why he smokes pot, because it offsets the nausea of his bipolar.
Yeah, and evens him out.
Yeah.
And this guy's bipolar bisexual.
Yes, he is.
By golly.
Let's call him now.
With not a tooth in his head.
Yeah, just had all his teeth pulled.
No bicuspids.
All of his rotten teeth.
Yeah, they were all rotten. That's why he had them pulled. Bicuspids.
So he's ready for the on-air call. We'll call him now. Remember, he's been on the show. He didn't like it before, but he doesn't know it's the same show.
He won't remember.
When you're bipolar, who needs a molar?
Hold on. One, two. Oh! Okay, hold on. Nine.
The electric shock should make him forget.
Here we go.
30 decades ago, so he's not a young man.
3 decades.
No. Well, no, but it says in the press release,
30
decades ago.
He would be 300 years old.
See the press release, the agency says?
Yeah, that's probably a typo.
What is on?
Hello, Bill? Hi, Bill. It's Don and Mike. We're on the air. How are you? Nice to meet you, sir.
I'm not what?
I said, you're on the air, and it's wonderful to meet you.
How are you, sir?
Thank you. Yeah, by the way, my face is made for radio.
Perfect. That's a good one. You sound,
say that.
You don't sound like you don't have any teeth.
Well, people tell me it sounds all right. I've tried to downplay the damage a little bit.
Now, we
need to do that.
We'd like to talk to you about having your teeth pulled. We'd like to talk about your 100 electroshock treatments you've had. How's the bipolar thing going?
Bipolar has been great for the last 29 years.
Good. We heard a rumor from somebody that you think that you're, or excuse me, that not you think, that you are, in fact, the Son of God.
Some people think I'm the Mississippi Messiah.
Well, I mean, do you feel that, or do you know that you are the Son of God?
Well, let's say I know, but maybe nobody else does.
Hmm. Why do you think you're the Son of God?
Well, in 1974, I became aware of being Jesus, and then my name of William Godwin, you see, William, last three letters of William are I-A-M. And the first three letters of God, so you have I am God.
Okay, but what about the W-I-L-L before I-A-M?
Well, you could have Will Win, the last three letters of William, of Godwin. Will Win.
I am God.
I haven't quite figured that out yet.
Have you performed any miracles?
My main miracle was my own, having gotten over the...
bipolar?
The, what you call, manic depressive.
Bipolar, yeah, right. Yeah. And we understand that you've had quite a history in the boudoir.
Well, I've had 1,040.
Ooh, 1,000.
Of course, I've cut that out now because I'm afraid of AIDS.
You're afraid of AIDS, yeah.
Yes, I am.
Aren't we all?
No desire to catch AIDS.
Way to cut the odds.
And you don't discriminate between men and women. You've had sex with both of them?
Well, of course, my favorite is women. My favorite is men.
Your favorite, of course.
I've had a lot of women too.
Really? What makes men better than women, in your opinion, Son of God?
I think one man knows another man better than vice versa, than the woman.
You don't have to tell us.
Wouldn't you have a but who does? Here's a common straight way of thinking. Wouldn't you have?
Been very long. You know, it's a trick, and then it's gone.
Well, listen. Don't catch AIDS now. Don't go catching AIDS.
Bill,
I don't intend to.
Bill, why all the teeth in your head? I mean, why didn't you go to a dentist? I mean, did you have to have them all?
My cousin and my dentist, and he used to tell me, Bill, you're not keeping your teeth clean. And then finally he said, well, Bill, your relatives, you came by this honestly because they had bad teeth, too.
But Bill,
so every little bit I'd have teeth pulled, and now they're all gone.
But the Son of God with bad teeth, that seems almost impossible.
What about King Solomon? I've outcounted him. You know, he had 1,000, and I've had 1,040.
Mm-hmm.
You've actually got about sexual partners?
Now that my record has to stand now because I'm not having any sex.
What do you eat now without any teeth?
Almost everything. My dentist said that he had a grandfather, Taylor, who could eat about anything he wanted to.
Why didn't you get dentures?
Say what?
Why didn't you get dentures?
Well, they cost anywhere from $250 to $900, so I didn't think I could afford it.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you think Nick Lachey is cute?
People are what?
Do you think Nick Lachey is cute? You know, the guy who's married to Jessica Simpson?
Shane, you say?
No, his name is Nick Lachey.
Lachey.
What about him?
Do you find him attractive?
I don't know, but the most attractive person in my line right now is Michael Jackson.
You're attracted to Michael Jackson?
Oh, yes.
All right, well, what attracts you to Michael Jackson?
Well, he's feminine, and that's my type.
Uh-huh.
He's what?
Feminine.
You know who you'd probably love, Bill? Or may I call you Jesus?
Okay.
Which would you like?
It's okay.
Bill or Jesus?
It's all right. Bill might make some people more comfortable.
All right. How about I call you BJ? Bill Jesus.
Well, you know what else that stands for.
Yes, I do. But let's not get into that.
Yes, we don't need to get into that, Bill.
Listen, Bill.
You want to ask me about Michael Jackson?
Yes, but I want to tell you something, Bill Jesus. There's a newscaster in Washington, D.C. named Will Thomas. And if you could picture Michael Jackson with all of the plastic surgery so he would look like a real white boy, this guy, oh, listen, this guy has the looks. My wife helped me pinpoint it when we were watching him the other night on television.
Chiseled good looks.
I'm fascinated with him because he has a very feminine look to him.
He's a very, very attractive man.
Now, I wanted to tell you that the word feminine is not quite getting it, but what is it? Effeminate. People say effeminate, or they'll say sissy.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
My word is feminine.
Feminine.
And what do you wear? What do you when you go out for an evening looking for a man or a woman? What do you?
Well, I'm going out in a few minutes, and I have on an orange pullover, like a t-shirt,
uh-huh. Right?
And blue jeans and so forth.
You going commando, sir?
I'm going to Wendy's for a little while.
Hey, listen, would you do us a favor? I know it's off topic here, but all of the people over at Fox Television listen to our show, and they love it. They love it when we mention them. Would you please say hi to Will Thomas? He's that good-looking man we were talking about.
Did you say Will Thomas?
Yes,
Will Thomas.
His name is Will Thomas, and I think he would...
Hi, Will Thomas.
I think he would be incredibly attracted to him.
You might be embarrassed for me to say that.
Yeah, who knows?
He shouldn't be.
How old are you, Bill?
63
years young. God bless you.
Hey, I had 20 years period in there when I was really hot stuff.
Hey, Bill Jesus, please to describe the feelings of electroshock.
Now, people might be misinterpreting that because it was not the electroshock. It was the putting me to sleep almost immediately and feeling that my head was coming apart.
Mm.
It was the going to sleep immediately so the doctor could go out and play golf, you see.
Now, is God your father?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, do you mean that in the way that everybody who's religious feels to some extent that God is their father, or is God your biological father?
Well, let's just say for everybody.
And how often do you shower, sir?
I don't have a regular shower because I have a tub and a chair in the tub.
Mm-hmm. You have a chair in the tub?
What I do is about every day I sponge bath mm-hmm. every day, and so mm-hmm. I don't do the shower or the tub very often.
Right. Could you describe yourself, Bill, physically? Could you describe yourself for our listeners?
About
a half an inch
under six.
Right.
Okay. And I'm not very good looking. I've had a bad face, and that's why I say...
Well, when you say a bad face, what does that mean? Describe that for us.
Well, right now, I can honestly say that I have some scars, I have some cuts, and some wrinkles, and a little acne and so forth.
How did you get...
the whole package.
How did you get scars? Is that from acne? Or
street fighting, or...?
It started with the acne, and then the other things come on. See, the other things come on as I get older.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it ironic, or perhaps that's God's message, that even God's son can have killer acne?
Yeah.
Hey, let me tell you about this. Isaiah 53, it says that Jesus would be ugly and despised and rejected.
What about your hair? Do you have all your hair, Bill?
Uh-huh.
Well, what color is it? You have white hair?
It's about half of light and half of dark.
Half of white, half of dark.
Now you had sex with all these men and some women, over 1,000, before you had your teeth pulled. Have you had sex since after you've had your teeth pulled?
I haven't had sex in about 20 years.
20 years? So you're
still ahead of King Solomon,
yeah.
Who had wives and concubines. He had 1,000. I've had 1,040.
Are there any men or women in your life right now?
Yes, I'm going to pick up a girl down here at Wendy's who works down there.
What is Mindy's, Bill?
She is Wendy's girl.
Wendy's, I think.
Did you say Wendy's?
Uh-huh.
Wendy's restaurant.
Yeah, Wendy's.
The fast food joint?
Hamburger.
It's one of them.
And
she's a black girl, and she's real pretty.
No, that's nice.
And how come you haven't had sex with her?
Haven't had sex with her yet.
You got her on the docket?
I'm sure she can't hear me talking, but she might be mad if she did.
Yeah, no, she wouldn't hear this. Well, good luck, buddy.
So is she going to be, she'll be your first conquest in 20 years.
Well, now, I'm not really hip on sex right now, so I'm going to tell her that we can go to the health department and have the syphilis and the... what's the other one?
Gonorrhea.
AIDS test.
Right.
We'll have to do that first, and then kind of put her off a little bit, and maybe I'll get in the mood by then.
Right.
You ever had VD, Jesus?
VD?
Yeah.
Any kind of...
I had crabs.
Oh, you had
crabs one time from a girl, and had to use a little green bottle in the drugstore.
And then
in Memphis, I caught some stuff that was similar to uveitis.
Jesus. Anyway, keep going, sir.
In the Memphis, you caught some...
uveitis, and they said it was gonorrhea, and I got rid of that.
That happened.
You caught what? What did you say, Bill?
Gonorrhea.
It was similar to what?
Similar to uveitis.
Uveitis,
yes.
So even the Son of God is struck with all of these sexual diseases.
I don't see any problem except that AIDS does kill people.
Well, that would be the major concern about AIDS.
Any other physical problems?
Syphilis can kill, but it doesn't have to.
Any other physical problems that you have there, Bill?
Those two were the two.
Excuse me, Bill. Any other health problems that you have?
Well, I'm saying that my health has been good for 29 years now.
29 years.
That's pretty good, huh?
As the Son of God, do you have a message for any of God's followers who might be listening now?
Oh, yeah. I have, this is what I tell everybody who calls.
Yes.
I have three hopes. One, that we develop our minds to the fullest possible extent.
Amen, brother.
Mm-hmm. Two, that our worship be interracial and interfaith.
Sure, yes. That's
three,
a good thought.
That we work for democratic socialism in a world government.
A world government so that we can all be one.
Uh-huh.
And would you have sex with as many people as possible if you could?
I think I have done my job in that area.
Your work is done. If you could give a message to Michael Jackson, what would it be?
Oh, Michael, I wrote to him and I said, Michael, I think you're innocent. I said, why would any person want to have sex with a cancer patient? You know, now I'm not saying there's anything wrong with a cancer patient, but that's not the kind of
forget
thing
the fact
about
that it's
sex.
A child.
No disrespect to any. Cancer Bill Parcells is a no disrespect.
So I think he should be found innocent.
You do. What's your favorite meal, Bill?
Favorite meal?
Yeah.
One of my favorites is, let's see, ground beef and rice chopped up.
Mm-hmm. That's yummy.
And chopped my sister up. Calls that, she lives in Louisiana, and she calls that rice dressing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you can put other things with it.
Yeah.
But the rice and the chopped... Chopped hamburger is real good.
You like Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy?
Oh, I'm not too much on the quiz shows.
Yeah. Well, what's your favorite television show?
What do you watch?
Right now, I stay up late to watch Becker.
Yeah, that's funny, isn't it?
Stay up late to watch.
Yeah. At Becker, who would have thought
that? I like Seinfeld also. And,
respect from Jesus. Do you drink? Bill?
No, not anymore. I see now, I have a good reason for not drinking now, and that is because I would wet my bed.
That's always a good reason. Jesus, we have a couple of calls for you. Would you like to take a call?
Okay, I didn't think we'd be talking this long.
Well,
go ahead.
Nor did I.
You're fascinating.
Here's Dan in Buffalo. Dan, you're on with Jesus.
Hi, Mike, hey. And Buzz, and Jesus.
Yeah.
A question for you, BJ. Do you like My Little Pony and Color Pink?
Say it again.
Hey.
Hey, oh, troublemaker.
Some kind of cruel joke.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. My kid is independent. Hello, Don and Mike Show. You stay away from him, Bill Godwin. Hello,
yes,
Tim.
Jesus,
yeah, you're on the air with Jesus. Tim.
Jesus is a bad example.
Yes, he was setting an awful example.
Yes.
Here's a new caller, though, for you.
Jesus.
Go ahead, Tim.
Huh?
I think we lost.
Go ahead.
I've been...
We have a bad cell phone. Joe has said that the cell phones today are nuts, that it's just not working.
Is it that sunspots
number? Spring and fall only on that.
All right, well, I don't know, Bill. What can I? Oh, hold on. Here's another call. I'll try one more call for you, okay?
Okay.
Let me try this one. Here's Blind Glenn from Las Vegas.
Oh, my.
I want Jesus to perform a miracle for me and make me see.
Las Vegas?
Yeah, you're talking about...
Let me tell you what I heard about Sacramento and Reno.
Oh, I bet you did.
What did you hear about?
Listen, the people in Sacramento get on these buses and they go to Reno, and they have to get a round-trip ticket on the bus because some of them are going to lose their asses.
Yeah.
I lost my bus, so what can I do about that?
They live in Sacramento.
All right, Blind Glenn, I believe you had an actual request, though, for Jesus, correct?
That was it. I would like to be able to see.
All right, now this guy is a...
Blind, sir?
Yes, he's blind.
He's blind, Bill. Can you help him?
For real.
Well, I'll tell you what. As soon as I get the word from Becker, you know, he has a blind man on his show.
Right.
I don't know a whole lot about it, but my specialty is
mental illness. Hold on. Well, obviously your specialty is mental illness. You were going to wait to consult with TV's Becker to find out about curing the blindness of our friend Blind Glenn?
I was just seeing if I could pick up some tips from Becker.
Yeah, he knows a blind guy.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, yes.
I like that thing about, you know, Cheers had a bar in this... This thing with Becker has a bar also.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
coffee shop.
Blind Glenn, were you in there? What can we do for you?
Well, I just guess I waited 57 years. I guess I waited a little while longer, couldn't I?
Yeah.
Listen, we're not trying to make fun of your ailment.
No, we're not. But Blind Glenn also eats babies in clarified butter.
Hey, Don, Mike?
Yes.
What'd you say?
I said, you eat babies in clarified butter.
He just did. Sure enough, dude.
Do what with babies?
He eats them.
Eat babies?
Yes, he eats babies.
Yes, thank you. We thought the same thing when we
heard
that.
They're good with the rice.
Well, Bill, thank you.
Is that like the brain stem we used to talk about?
No.
No, it's not the stem cell research.
Totally different. Totally different. Bill, thank you for your time.
Any parting words of wisdom, Bill Godwin, for our listeners?
Have you had 45 stations on right now?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'd love to hear from y'all.
Would you like to share anything with our listening audience before we...
I did the one thing about the three hopes.
Right.
Right.
Now. Develop your mind fully.
Do you have a website or anything?
No. In fact, you know, I go way back, and I don't know much about computers. Sorry.
He doesn't have a shower. I don't think he's going to have a website.
Yeah, I forgot about the shower thing, Mike.
But he sits.
If you call me again sometime, I'll prepare some other things.
Wonderful.
Oh, that was fantastic. And thanks, talking to you. May I call you Jesus?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Pleasure having you on the show.
Thank you.
Oh, how'd you like your movie with Mel Gibson?
You mean the Passion?
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't go. I was worried about the children. You know, Jesus wanted the children to come to him, but I don't think Jesus would want little children to see the violence that he had.
Now, is Jesus, the guy that was in the movie, that Jesus, is he your brother, your stepbrother, your cousin?
Well, he was the he was claiming to be portraying Jesus, wasn't he?
Yes, yes. Now
Mel Gibson was not the actor.
I'm so confused. I don't even know now.
Well, are you Jesus? Are you Jesus, the guy with the beard up on the cross?
No, I don't wear a beard.
I guess that
but
says
I
it all.
Do.
We should clear it up.
All of these problems I have, I'm not bald headed though.
Right.
Good for you.
I have all my hair.
Hey, thank you.
Very good, Bill.
Good talking to you, Bill.
Okay.
Goodbye, Bill.
Bye.
Come on, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Tough to pin Bill down on anything there.
Sure is.
He sure likes Becker, though. If we got one thing out of that interview, we got that.
He likes Becker. And he wanted to consult with Becker before he could do any healing.
For Blind Glenn.
Of course.
But the thing that troubled
me... And you're the only one. You wrote that down. You're the only one that ever remembers that Blind Glenn said he eats babies one time.
What was funny is when you said that he eats babies, he replied with like a sling blade noise.
Yeah, sure do like them french fried potatoes.
All right, well, there's Bill Godwin or Jesus or whatever. No teeth, electroshock, and we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
A bitter cold night. The Giants with a victory against the Eagles tonight could reduce the edge to a half a game. I'm not on camera now. We're in Philadelphia at Franklin Field. The score, the New York Football Giants 13, the Philadelphia Eagles 9.
The Don and Mike Show. can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Get the lead out.
I bet something really good is getting ready to happen to you today. Thanks to Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
I can guarantee something good is going to happen right now. Let me call Joe Artinger to the studio, please.
Yay. Hallelujah.
Joe.
Yesterday we had Joe start to read from Bill Clinton's book.
Yes.
You're going to hear a 60-second just like dive bombs with Joe reading right here. Now, Joe, I've selected. I've got two different paragraphs that I think will cover maybe not the entire 60 seconds. Take your time. Now with, and you'll have 60 seconds on the clock. You don't have to get it done in the 60 seconds. That's just the amount of time we have.
Mm-hmm.
Here now is Joe Artinger reading from Bill Clinton's book, My Life.
Oop, by Bill Clinton.
Oh. Go ahead, start again, Joe.
Yes.
From page 405 of My Life by Bill Clinton. Even Jerry Brown said the press should lay off because the issue wasn't relevant. But the press had found another character issue. As for the didn't inhale remark, I was stating a fact, not trying to minimize what I had done, as I tried to explain until I was blue in the face. What I should have said was that I couldn't inhale. I had never smoked cigarettes, didn't inhale with the pipe I occasionally smoked at Oxford, and tried but failed to inhale the marijuana smoke. I don't know why I even mentioned it. Maybe I thought I was being funny. Or perhaps it was just a nervous reaction to a subject I didn't want to discuss. My account was corroborated by the respected English journalist Martin Walker, who later wrote an interesting and not altogether flattering book on my presidency, Clinton, the President They Deserve.
There it is.
All right, Joe.
Nicely done, Joe.
Out of time. Thank you.
Nice job.
We'll ask you to come back later and read another passage.
That was wonderful, and he read that with a great deal of wit and enthusiasm.
He's a good reader.
He gets better every day.
He's a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
He's constantly coming in and trying to... Have you noticed Joe peddling his jokes?
Yeah, absolutely. Joe was doing a full-scale rave out about people in the supermarket.
It was actually pretty funny.
Mommies in the supermarket that go through the automatic... let their children go through the automatic checkout line.
Yeah, I have a prediction. Joe is going to be the next member of the Don and Mike show to leapfrog us to superstardom.
Yeah, he's going to have his own TV show.
You
know
what
would be a good double bill at, like, ha-has? Is Joe and then Robert the Angry Mailman.
Absolutely. It'll be fantastic as they both start their stand-up comedy careers.
Buzz, yes. I want you to go to a website now and flip it around, and I have a picture to show Mike. I'll tell you that there's a great website we found about plastic surgery. Let me start this by saying we had Lay Moonves on the show a couple of weeks ago, the guy that's the president of CBS, and now the president of the CBS radio, which is who we work for.
Right.
And yeah, let's hear it for Lay Moonves. Yeah. And he's laying it to Julie Chen.
Julie Chen.
Now, this is not a secret that they are boyfriend and girlfriend.
No.
However, it's a little awkward because she's the girlfriend of the president of the network, and she's on the morning show where she reads the news.
And she's on Big Brother.
And the other night when she was on Big Brother, she is just absolutely to die for.
She's hot. And she gets hotter.
They had the body sparkles on her, and she had the sexy top on, and she's going, "I'm Julie Chen. Welcome to Big Brother."
That sounds exactly like her.
And
how do you do with it?
But it's amazing. I know it's Mike's thing.
But you're the dialectician.
Joe.
Anyway, there's a website called goodplasticsurgery.com.
Okay.
And they have all kinds of people there. They have Christina Aguilera. They have Jessica Simpson.
Oh, okay.
Jessica Simpson's sister.
We're going to Chelsea Clinton on the front page.
Yeah, but one of the people is Julie Chen. And
do they have
you look at the
picture.
Yes, they do. They have her from 96 and then from 2004. Now, according to goodplasticsurgery.com, she had eyelid surgery and a rhinoplasty. And now, look at the picture, Mike. She used to look like Margaret Chow. And now she looks like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Judy Chen.
Absolutely.
I made myself look so good for Les Moonves.
Unbelievable.
He put me on CBS Morning Show, and now say, put on Body Sparkle to be on Big Brother.
And I think the rhinoplasty really... really. Wow.
I know, Mama. But Mama-san... Rest in peace for all of my plastic surgeries.
She looks hot now. I mean, they did a good job.
Much better.
Yeah, she does. So that's news about Julie Chen.
Wow.
Who's the host? Was that Fix the Nose?
Fix the Nose.
Fix the Nose.
All right, Liz. I fix the nose for you. I fix the nose so good for you.
Wow, she looks hot.
We've not talked at all about this Jeopardy guy.
Very smart.
Talking about this,
Rob just said he's very smart.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Very good, Rob. It's a brilliant observation. Fix now, the nose.
The guy is still... Where's that Alex Trebek tape?
Oh, he's not here.
That's the best Jeopardy tape in the history of the world.
The angry Alex Trebek?
Yeah. Now, this guy's been on Jeopardy. He won again last night, 29 days in a row.
Mm-hmm.
He's up to $972,000. And if we didn't live in the age now where you can go on Survivor and win $1 million or
right.
go on Who Wants to Marry My Dad, win $1 million, it would be a big deal if this guy's almost won $1 million.
Yeah, on a traditional game show.
The average person on Jeopardy wins, if they're really good.
If they're the champion.
Something like... $15,000 a day. That's someone who's doing good.
That's an incredible take. This is a first.
Last night he made $52,000, and at the very end, after because he had enough money to beat the other two people
right.
going into Final Jeopardy, so he made his bet. They come back, and Alex Trebek says, "Congratulations, you've won $52,000, whatever it is. If you had bet $1 more." You would now be the all-time champion for most money won in one day on Jeopardy.
Really?
Wow. Yeah, so he missed it by a dollar.
He
anyway,
can do it.
The guy is still on.
So that was his record yesterday, was 52 grand. That's the most anybody's ever won in a single day?
Second most.
One day, yeah.
Second most.
Well, tied for first.
And let me see. He's now starting to go on the shows.
He's the record holder for Total Take, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's been on Good Morning America. He's going to be on the Letterman show. The last guy is a guy that we've had on our show before, a guy from D.C., and this guy, he only won 7 days in a row.
7 days in a row.
And
he is incredible.
He was the champion before. Now, I don't ever watch Jeopardy. It's always on when I'm on the way home.
Right.
Well, who am I kidding?
He's in my house every night with Jeopardy.
I wouldn't watch it. There's a cartoon on. I'll watch the cartoon. But
I like to watch Jeopardy, and then if you can catch I used to enjoy doing it with people when they'd have the West Coast feeds,
mm-hmm.
and you watch the early version.
So you know the answer?
Yeah. Yeah, and then you just sit there in somebody's living room, and it's like, my God, you're brilliant.
Oh, and I have to tell you, they really caught me. Everybody now is doing the commercials like Geico and like Holiday Inn. And every once in a while, you see one of these that catches you off guard, that really surprises you. Like the one for Geico where it's male pattern baldness.
Oh, the guy with the hair club for men?
Yeah.
And the doctor that comes on?
And it turns out it's for Geico. So I'm watching ESPN today, and it's Jeopardy. And I think it's that they're doing something to spotlight
right.
this guy. As it turns out, it's an ad for Holiday Inn.
Huh.
Because it's on the real set. And Alex Trebek goes, and the category is, and the guy goes, bing. Who is George Washington? And Alex Trebek goes, that's incredible. Your one-day winning total is whatever. How did you? How? And then the guy says, well, it's easy. I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express last night. But it caught me.
Yeah, and that's great. Yeah. And that's what they try to do.
That's
and if they
point.
Do that, you remember the commercial.
Really caught me. Oh, and hold on. Here's someone who actually watched the guy on Jeff Hardy last night. Jim?
Yeah, Don and Mike. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing great, thanks.
First time, long time. Hey, listen, that guy last night, he tied himself. He's the one that set the record of 52,000 a few days ago.
Oh, okay.
So he would have tied
already
himself.
The record holder.
So he tied himself. He was already the record holder, and Alex said, if you bet a dollar, you just would have set the bar a little bit higher.
Now, does he appear normal, or is he kind of an egghead? What is he like?
Well, I watched the show, so I guess he's like me.
Well, as someone who watches the show...
Well, I mean, there's certain people that win, and they're kind of average guys, and then there are other people
who
disappear like a beautiful mind.
Do you root for him?
I really don't root for anybody. I just enjoy the show, but he's got a fast finger.
Get out of here.
I live
like
with a senior citizen, so I watch a lot of game shows and
right.
Hunter. And this guy, he's
really reserved. He seems nice enough,
right?
But there's no enthusiasm there.
So like, he's just a brilliant guy. And
well, Rob, among the eggheads that watch Jeopardy all the time, is there resentment that there's one guy that's doing so great?
I think so, and I think a lot of the resentment also lies in the fact this is relatively recent that they don't chop you at 5 days,
right?
And so there's been a lot of champions in the past.
I think it's
probably
great. I think let him go for 2 years.
I do too.
He says it's not that he's that smart; it's just that he has this great memory. He can remember everything.
Hello, Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer.
Yes, hi. I had heard that this guy's second job is writing questions for quiz shows.
And if that was true, there's nothing wrong with that, but
that's a little hinky, though.
Yeah, it is.
Hold on. I think we had this one. Here's Rob from Utah. Hey, Rob?
Yeah, man, that guy's a Mormon.
Yeah, I think Buzz had that on the news the other day, the guy from Salt Lake.
Well,
yeah.
Mormons are brilliant.
Right.
Mormons rule, baby, all the way.
You have to take an IQ test to get in the faith.
All right. See you later.
Brilliant. Also, when you see a lot of people, like past people on the show that have been on, that are bitter towards him, they all, to me, suggest Herbert Stemple from the movie Quiz.
Absolutely. Yeah. Where they're just angry.
Yeah, and they want to be there.
But they are bitter, the people they interview that have gone before him?
The guy in D.C. did a thing in the Post not long ago, and he watches and tapes him every night.
Wow. Really? And he's not happy that the guy's doing well?
I think he wants to give the illusion that he's happy for him.
He's not really happy.
Right.
Not really.
Good sport.
Well, what does Alex Trebek have?
Well, the question here is simpler.
Alex?
So keep watching Jeopardy 24 hours a day, and call this number. You dumb son of a bitch. You don't watch 24 hours a day. Ooh. Hi, I'm Alex Trebek, and
son of a bitch. This is not a goof tape. It's an outtake reel from Jeopardy.
Run that by me again. I don't understand that. I didn't pause.
He's doing a promo.
Trying to.
All right, let's start cutting. There's a daily cash prize of $1,000 and dollars. Ah.
Alex? Uh-huh.
Son of a bitch. Somebody gonna tell me why? Here's a little hint.
Uh-huh. Alex?
Pick up. Take one.
$25,000.
It's all on the same tape. How are they gonna lose it? $25,000, $50,000, $25,000, $50,000, $100,000, dollars.
Dollars.
Well, I'm not quite ready, so I'm gonna do it now. Dollars. It's for you. No.
Oh, my, Alex.
Call now and play. Phone Jeopardy. You. 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 Okay. And them, too.
Right. Hello, Karen. Don and Mike Show. Karen, hello.
Yes. I watched it. You know, he's interesting. He's not a nerd.
All right, that's my question.
He does really well with sports and pop culture. Mm. The thing that he failed in was Potent Potables, having to do with alcohol.
Oh, really?
So he had his wife.
Yeah, because he's a Mormon.
He doesn't drink at all.
So he didn't know a lot about that.
He was on the morning show on CBS this morning. He's already done Letterman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I think what did I say? He's going to be. Yeah, he was on Letterman. And yeah. He was on Good Morning America.
We're going to watch it, but.
Yeah. And he said he had his wife do flashcards. She's a queen. She's a gentle. Oh, thanks for saying me in.
Listen to that.
It's Karen. There she is, Karen. All right, thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
See you later. Bye, honey.
Bye, Karen.
Bye. She knew it.
Someday Karen.
She knew she was being played in. Hello, Chris, not a Mike Show.
She doesn't drive a minivan.
Hey, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, my name's Pat Goss, and if you want a really clean colon,
come on now, listen, you don't...
BG makes that?
That was a very good time to cut him off.
Regardless, no matter how much sense you're making, please.
That's Karen.
You know, keep that for another show. Call Pat with that.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Yeah, so do I. I don't have time to tell you all the stuff about Courtney Love.
Oh, man.
Is she at it again?
Okay, here you go. She turned 40 on Friday. She had an arrest warrant, and she may have had a miscarriage or an abortion.
Oh, no.
That's all I can tell you. There's a warrant out for her. She has a gynecological problem.
I bet she does.
I don't have time to get into it right now.
Yeah, no, well, no one does.
Yeah, a lot of people don't.
I just don't have time. Thanks to whoever it is that sent me the... remember the rappers that were going back and forth? Actually, only one rapper, and Shaq. Remember the guy Skills,
right?
Who was challenging Shaquille O'Neal?
Said that Shaq couldn't rap.
To a bad rap off, yeah. Well,
we have the lyrics to his new song in which he disses Shaquille O'Neal.
Very good.
We don't have time for it. Thanks for getting the Shaq rap music ready.
Rob's brain is working overtime, so he's flying around that studio.
Tomorrow, because the way I count it, it's three feel-goods today.
Oh, wow.
So all this stuff with Courtney Love and everything else, I can tell you about this. And do you care that Britney Spears got married with no underpants on in Las Vegas?
Britney Spears going commando?
Yeah, there's a lot about her wedding.
I care.
Her wedding.
Don, I do care about that story, and I'd like to hear about it.
T.S. Mike.
Okay. Tomorrow. Thanks for asking.
Tomorrow. But I think you'll like these. These are feel-good stories. The Olympics are coming to Athens, Greece.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing everything that they can to clean up Athens.
Right.
They are upset, the people of Greece, because so far the city has killed over 15,000 stray dogs.
Oh, my God.
Just yesterday at a coastal resort area of the country where members of the British soccer team were staying, they found a pile with 80 dead dogs in a pile.
Oh, my God.
Somebody's coming.
Apparently, there's a lot of dogs in Greece, and they think we got to get rid of them before the Olympics.
Why dispose of them in a sanitary manner? Just pile them up.
Now, that's just the beginning. Then you have the story of the three fellas, and it's the Don and Mike Farm Report.
Okay.
These are three guys started to work on a gigantic tank. A tank that was 3 feet deep.
Like a tank that shoots shells or a...
No.
Like just a water tank.
A water tank.
Okay.
They're on a farm, and it is a tank that has 3 feet deep of concentrated chicken waste.
Yeah. Mm.
The men had just started work when, as they're leaning over the edge, I guess with their big wooden spoons or whatever they're doing...
Yeah, stirring the mixture.
One of them became unconscious and fell in.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
from the fumes.
Now,
weren't you in back of a chicken truck one time and said it's the worst smell you've ever...
Yeah, but this is like all the leavens that are just in one of these giant vats.
Concentrated.
So the guy, he goes, oh my God, I can't, oh! Over the edge, plop, he goes in.
Right.
Two very brave colleagues...
God bless them.
...jumped in to pull him out. But then, once they got in, now keep in mind, it's only 3 feet of water.
Right.
Or sludge, whatever it is.
Sludge.
Once they got in, they were also overtaken by the fumes.
And they passed out?
And yes, Mike, it's not just one farm worker, but three farm workers.
Oh, my God.
That died in chicken waste.
Oh, and when you say feel good, run for the hills.
But this is maybe a real good feel good.
Oh, good.
And I think you might like this one.
Okay.
In Iran, the country of Iran, it's frowned upon for women to make love to anybody before they get married.
Yes.
You know that. So, now there's a guy in, I'm going to need to help with the pronunciation of this town, Khorasan, K-H-O-R-O-A-S-A-N, Khorasan,
yeah.
Iran, found out that his new bride had had sex before they got married. And he felt so much shame that there was only one option given to them. They both had to kill themselves.
Oh, my God.
So the guy says, listen, you screwed around on me. This goes against our religion, against our laws. We must both kill ourselves. So they entered into a suicide pact. The man helped hang his wife.
Is that a suicide pact or a suicide pact?
Pact.
Okay.
Pact.
Well, I was wondering whether
they
were...
No, and actually they made a pact because they went to a barn. They made a pact. They did. They went to a barn. They're going to hang themselves.
Right. Is that like a fanny pack?
No, I think it was like a picnic basket,
right.
Actually, like Yogi.
Hey, Mr. Ranger.
So they get the pack, and they get the suicide pack.
Uh-huh.
So they get to the barn, and they say, okay, we gotta do it.
Yeah.
Who's gonna go first? So he strings her up first, and he kills her.
Oh, wow.
And then he decided he really didn't want to kill himself after all.
There it is.
Well.
Hey!
And it wasn't really...
But that brings you great joy.
It wasn't really a suicide pact
yeah,
at all.
Yeah, he cheated on it.
Just a chance, you know, to get his wife to kill herself.
But it's Iran and the way women are treated over there.
Yeah,
that's
there
the way
go.
It goes.
So that's what I...
And so it goes.
I had the three guys that fell into the chicken fat, mm-hmm. and then the other guy.
And a pile of 80 dead dogs.
And the dead day out, right.
Wow.
Dogs for Greece. Mm. And we never...
I feel better.
We never even got to all the stuff about Courtney Love and whatever is going along, going along and following her around. As she was walking on the steps of court the last time that she left the courtroom, she was dripping blood.
Oh!
Dripping blood from down there? Not a good place.
Oh, my God.
Not a good place.
But on the bright side, you know, those courtrooms are big. She was able to find her way back.
Oh, God.
Like leaving a trail and you get lost in the woods.
Oh, my God.
You know, when you leave a little bit of sugar on the road, just
red crumbs,
salt, something to follow.
That is nasty.
And, you know,
trail
tomorrow,
of copper.
Tomorrow we will devote an entire break to Courtney Love.
Yeah,
what's
we'll
wrong
take that.
With, what's wrong with
wow.
Yeah, Dirty Penny. From a guy at the Exxon station talking about Dirty Penny's
nasty.
Tomorrow we'll talk about Courtney Love, and you'll really like all the details about Britney Spears' marriage to the first retarded guy that she got married to. Like
no trail there, right?
5 hours. Is Britney? She might as well. Farrell would say she can go straight to Whore City.
Really?
Yeah, Britney Spears.
Oh, okay. I look forward to that.
Oh, and listen, thanks to the guy that got us the copy of Anchorman.
Okay.
So we got Anchorman, which means we'll have the drop-ins tomorrow.
Very exciting.
From the tapes from Anchorman. So stay classy.
Stay
classy. We got a break. We'll come back with Dutch Boyd, who stiffed us last week. He'll be on ESPN tonight in the World Series of Poker.
Dutch Boyd, does that sound like a poker player?
Okay, he's on. We'll be right back with him.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
In the casino, the cardinal rule is to keep them playing and keep them coming back. The longer they play, the more they lose. In the end, we get it all.
The Don and Mike Show. Obey them, or they will choke you out. Don and Mike.
I know you don't dig this song by Tom Jones, Mike.
Yeah, but he's a casino guy.
Love is like candy.
I tell you something though.
The
song is prominently featured in Anchorman.
Is it really?
Great. See, I know I keep talking about Anchorman
yeah.
every
you
day.
You love the Anchorman.
Gotta see
yeah.
Joining us now, a guy who stiffed us last week. I think he slept through the interview, and we do an afternoon show.
Well, you know, it's those poker hours
yeah.
too.
Here's Dutch Boyd, who's in the ESPN World Series of Poker right now. Dutch.
Yeah, how are you guys doing?
So and incidentally, this is Dutch with his fake energy that he's putting together for the radio show.
Way to go, Dutch. We appreciate it.
So that's what I heard. When Robbie picked up the phone, Beth Ann got you online, put you through to the studio. Rob picked up the phone and said that you'll be on the air in about 1 second. You said, oh, I was just working up my fake energy.
Yeah.
No. See, how it actually went down is I was talking to Beth, who is, I guess, one of your producers. And
one of our medics
got me on the line,
mm-hmm.
and then the next thing she says, "Okay, we're going to transfer you to Don and Mike." So the next thing I hear is Dutch, and that's when I just thought, you know, I thought it was one of you guys.
Gotcha.
Either way, I was prepared.
We're glad to have you with us. What happened last week? We're going to have you last week before the first episode of the World Series of Poker was on.
Yeah, I knew you guys weren't going to let me forget that one.
You sleep through it, Dutch?
That's exactly what I did.
What are your hours? What are your normal hours? I know you don't have normal hours, but if it's an average day, when do you sleep, Dutch?
Well, you know, the nice thing about playing poker is that there's always a poker game, so you can pretty much just sleep when you want. I mean, I don't really have a set schedule. Sometimes I'll be up for, you know, 16 hours a day, and sometimes I'll be up for 32 hours a day, and it's just, and when you're in the casino, all the day and night look alike.
Right.
So I'm watching SportsCenter this morning, and they got a crawl on the bottom of the screen that says countdown to World Series of Poker. It's like 12 hours until it airs tonight.
Right.
There's an episode tonight. I don't know if they're repeating it or not, but there's one at 9 o'clock and then another one at 10 o'clock. Now, the stuff that they're airing now, is this stuff that they've taped recently? Are you still in the World Series of Poker right now as we speak?
No, the World Series of Poker is over now. It ended at the end of May.
Oh,
so the stuff that they're going to be airing tonight is at least a month and a half old.
Is it one of those things where you don't reveal what the results were because it hasn't aired yet?
Do you want me to spoil it for everybody?
Yeah, no, of course not. Dutch,
yeah.
We wouldn't want you to do that. But
no,
did you win?
No, not tonight. I don't think I'm going to be making
the one of the final tables tonight.
Oh, really?
Now, if you don't make one of the final tables on tonight's episode, do you get invited back, or is it if you lose, you're out?
Well, let me explain the World Series of Poker.
All right.
Because this is pretty confusing. The first couple of times I saw it on TV, I assumed what everybody else thinks, that the World Series of Poker is just one great big event. And the World Series of Poker is actually a series of tournaments that they have out in Vegas at the old Binion's Horseshoe at downtown.
Right.
And the series goes on for a little over a month. There's around 30 different tournaments. And it's capped off by the main event of the World Series of Poker, which is a $10,000 no-limit tournament.
How many levels do you have to travel through to get to the final table?
Well, this year there were 2,600 entrants into the main event of the World Series of Poker. And they played, I think, for a full week.
Now, you yourself, from what you've been able to tell from what you've seen, and you know how far you got in the competition, are you getting a lot of FaceTime, as much FaceTime as Chris Moneymaker, or, you know, I don't know the guys' names, but I know the guys' faces that I've seen on in previous years. The guy who bluffs all the time.
The guy with the shades and the cigarette that's unlit.
Yeah, and the guy who wears the funky hat.
Right.
And do you get a lot of FaceTime, Dutch?
Well, I did last year. Last year I came into the top two tables out of about 900 players, so I ended up coming in 12th.
How much did you make last year?
80,000 is what 12th paid.
80,000.
You know, now, I have a question about poker in general. Obviously, it's one of the hottest things on TV now. Everybody seems to have a poker show on there. But when you watch it, is the greatest skill just the ability to bluff and really not let your opponent know what you have? Is that would seem to be, outside of knowing the game real well, that would seem to be the greatest skill. Is that correct?
You know, it's kind of hard to say what the greatest skill in poker is. I mean, obviously you have to have a lot of heart, and you have to be able to bluff when the opportunities present themselves. But, you know, when I think about the greatest poker player and what kind of skills are important, I think the most important skill a poker player can have is just keep coming back.
Now, you guys, since it's been on TV, do you find that people think it's easier or harder? Because I know when I'm watching it on TV, especially if I'm watching with a group of people, because they've got the cameras where you can cheat and see what everybody has, and then they put the percentages up. Now, of course, the players don't know this.
Right.
They'll say, for instance, oh, look at this. Buzz has got two kings.
Mm-hmm.
The chances of Buzz winning this hand are already
80%.
Yeah, 80%. So at home, what you want to say is, Buzz, go all in, and what you want to scream at the other guy is, he's got two kings, you're screwed.
Right, right. Yeah.
What is the response you're getting from people now that they can see what you've got in your hands? Do people ever come up to you and say, hey man, I saw that episode last night, and you had a 7 and a 2, how come you didn't fold? I mean, do people ask you that?
Yeah. Yeah, poker's a lot easier of a game when you can see what people have, and you can see who won the hand.
Yeah, but otherwise, it's just, I mean, that's the thing that amazes me about this, because when you watch it on TV, you see that, but otherwise, you're completely flying blind. Yeah, and I, you know, I go to Atlantic City and Las Vegas a lot, and the one area that I am terrified of, that I would never walk into, even though I know the game, is the poker room, because I would think I'd be eaten up, because these guys have some kind of sixth sense or something.
Are you a degenerate gambler? And I mean that only, in the nicest possible way.
Well, no, I don't think so. I don't really even consider poker gambling. I don't play pit games. I don't bet on sports. I do play poker, but poker, I think, has a lot more in common with day trading or, you know, playing the stock market than it does with playing the dice.
How so? Explain that. I don't understand that.
You know, I've heard a lot of guys say that, Mike. That's how a lot of guys are rationalizing it now.
That it's like day trading.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see, what you're saying is, it's more of an educated guess than it is, you know, just gambling money.
And you're looking at trends.
Right.
Right. You know, you get a guy's talent.
But it's still, to me, you can't see the cards.
Yes. I mean, a lot of times you'll be sitting at the table, and you'll be dealt a certain hand, and it doesn't even matter what the hand is, because in no limit hold'em, very rarely does the hand even go to the showdown where you have to show what you have. And you'll be playing some guy across the table, and the flop will come out, maybe it'll come ace high, and he'll bet into you, and you know that he doesn't have that ace, and that if you re-raise him all in, he's gonna fold. And
you know, when you see those spots, that's what poker's all about, is picking those spots where you know.
So more reason that I'm never going to go into that poker.
And what about a guy like you that's on this ESPN World Series of Poker? And this is serious stuff. What do you think when you watch a tool like Ben Affleck, when they're doing celebrity poker, and they're playing, incidentally, on the celebrity game, they're playing Texas Hold'em. But
that's the most common game
but,
in the casino.
But on Bravo with the celebrity poker, they're playing like a weird, retarded version where it's almost like Go Fish.
Right.
It's not the actual Texas Hold'em game. There's so many ways that they could say, wait, hold on, I changed my mind. And wait,
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. You got to watch it. And a lot of times,
right,
the flop card isn't where it's supposed to be. There's other stuff. Do you like those shows, the celebrity poker shows?
Well, you know, first off, I want to say it's funny that you said that. You know, it's kind of a big deal now, poker being on ESPN.
It is.
I was pretty excited about it until this last weekend when I was flipping through the channels, and it was probably 10 o'clock on Saturday or Friday night, and I flipped through ESPN, and there is the World Championship hot dog eating competition.
That's true. Well, they just got time to fill, but
you know, wouldn't you know it? Like, I actually ended up watching the whole thing. They really made it seem really interesting. Yeah. And I guess there was this wonder kid from Japan named Kobayashi.
Yeah, you did watch
hot
it.
Dogs.
And yeah, you throw color commentary into anything, you can make it interesting.
The celebrity poker, you know, it is what it is. I mean, obviously the celebrities aren't professional poker players. And if you're watching that game to try to pick up on some deeper levels of thinking, you know, as far as poker skill goes, I mean, you might as well just be watching a whole bunch of 12-year-olds playing in the basement with matchsticks. But
and hot dog eating is a lot like day trading, isn't it?
Well, I think hot dog eating is a lot like poker. Because, you know, you can never really tell how many hot dogs a person can eat just by looking at them.
Right. And now, do you watch the show when you're on? Do you watch the show after it's done? I mean, like...
I've watched it once. Last year at the World Series, it was a little bit hard to watch because I didn't finish as high as I would have liked to. I played 4 days last year at the main event, and it was really tough. I mean, you start with 10,000 in chips, and everyone else, you know, has the same amount of chips you do, and they just keep on playing until players are knocked out. And, by the end of, like, a good way into the fourth day, I had almost $1 million of the chips in front of me, and the hand that really got me was, and they put it on ESPN, was a pretty big bluff that went south against Moneymaker. And you know, when you ask about, you know, people coming up to you and asking you about certain hands, that's the one everyone seems to ask me about. So,
you know, it's one thing.
You know, isn't that like a quarterback? Someone who becomes a quarterback, go, how could you possibly have thrown that? Except no one would have the balls to go up to Peyton Manning and say, "Hey, dude, why'd you throw that ball away?" But because you're a poker guy,
yeah, they definitely have the balls to come up to me.
Yeah,
well, it's an all or nothing thing, really, when you're playing that kind of hold'em with the World Series of Poker. But I'm curious with you, when I think of poker, I think of that movie Rounders, and I'm curious of all the games you've ever been in a casino or outside of a casino, what's the most money you've ever won at a regular game?
Well, like in a ring game, not too much because I don't play. You know, regular games. I mainly just play tournaments now.
You do, okay.
And right. You know, that $80,000 score was the most I ever took away from.
What's the most you ever hustled? Hey. What's the biggest amount of money you ever hustled out of some sap?
Wow. You know what? I actually think that the most amount of money I ever hustled was probably not from some sap.
Okay, or from a smart guy.
In order to really take someone and hurt somebody, they're not going to be given away a lot unless they think that they're better than you.
All right, so it was obviously, okay, we won't call the person a sap or a schmuck.
Right.
But what's, how much did you take this guy for?
Oh, how much did I take the guy for?
Yeah.
Oh, and you know what? I'm sure only a few grand. The most I've ever won from any one person has only been a few grand.
A few grand. Okay, so you primarily do the tournaments.
And now, do you have a Joe job? Like, we, you know, everybody knows about Chris Moneymaker because of the name and because he's a guy that had some other job and he just kind of fell into this. Do you have another job or are you a full-time poker player?
Well, right now I'm a full-time poker player and I have been for about 3 years.
Okay, and
that's got to be kind of a neat lifestyle.
It's got its ups and downs.
What are the downs?
Losing. Well, it's not a lot of stability,
right.
For one.
Sure.
I mean, if you have a bad month, things can go really bad.
Same in radio. Tell me something else that's not different between our jobs.
Month to month.
Having you on as a guest was a giant gamble. I mean, as it turns out, it's worked out okay because you're a nice guy. We like talking to you.
You never know. We roll the dice every day, Dutch.
But you could have been a stiff. Now listen, tonight when we watch,
not over. It might go south.
Yeah, you got to keep coming.
Tonight, what is your highlight that you would tell people to watch for on the ESPN poker when you're on tonight?
Oh, I don't know, because I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I got it. You haven't seen the
final. See, it just went south. You didn't know.
Yeah. The episode that I'm going to be on isn't going to show until August. Going to show just me showing my whole cards.
And
that was when I got to the final table in a Raz tournament. And then I won't spoil it for anybody who wants to keep it.
If I was to walk into a ring game in a casino, what's the one piece of advice you would give, you know, say somebody who's played a little amateur poker but wanted to go into a casino and play, when I really feel like I'm surrounded by sharks, what would you tell somebody that was going to play their first game?
I would tell someone to focus and just remember that they know more about poker than they think they do. Mm. You know, it's not...
Wouldn't you tell them just like to try to collect red cards? I mean, think of what you would tell a retard. Don't think about what you would tell someone who knows how to play.
Right.
What would you tell someone who knows nothing? Gonna sit down.
Yeah, like an amateur that really, even though we think we know about, all of us think we know how
we
to play poker.
We don't know.
But we really don't know.
We don't know. If we go to Atlantic City, what's the first thing we should know when we sit down? Hold on, here you go. If we're playing like Texas Hold'em, what are the two cards? As soon as you get those cards, you just fold and you say, forget it, I'm out.
Well, with Texas Hold'em, you can't really do anything just based on the strength that you're two holding.
Yeah, because of the flop.
Right. Oh, see, that's why I'm an idiot. Okay.
But there are definitely hands where if you get before the flop, you know, you should be excited about. Definitely you want to be waiting for those high pairs like pocket aces and pocket kings, pocket queens.
All right, so let's say you get a two and a three.
A two and a three?
Yeah, you get two of clubs and a three.
You got a straight half.
Well, if you asked me how to play that, I would tell you to muck it.
What's
but
that mean?
At the same time, if someone else, you know, if someone.
What does
else,
that mean to muck it? You
what does muck it mean? Come
what
on.
Does that mean?
Come on, you're talking to amateurs here, Dutch.
Holding. Get rid of it.
Get rid of it.
Yeah, so you would
get out of there.
You would dump that.
Yeah.
You would dump
that. Yeah, like if I were you, I wouldn't play that hand. But on the other hand, like, I might play that hand, and I know a lot of really good players that will play pretty much any two cards.
Oh, all right. So
how much do you rely on tells when you play?
Good question.
You know, I rely probably more than most people. One of my side projects is actually working on a site called PokerTells.com.
Right.
And I actually really put a lot of thought time into tells, and I think it's one of the stronger parts of my own game.
Cool. That is great. Can you, without giving anything away, could you mention probably the quirkiest, most unusual tell that you've ever known? And a tell, because we know enough about that, we've watched Rounder.
A tell is
the
movie.
Is where you look at a guy and he's doing something that consistently that tells you whether he's got a good hand or a bad hand.
Correct.
What would be the quirkiest tell you ever saw, Dutch?
Well, that's kind of tough. I mean, some people get really excited when they have a good hand and they don't hide it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, some people will laugh right there at the table and, you know, get up and start celebrating even before the hand is over. But
that's an idiotic tell. But I mean,
you know,
that's not even a tell, though.
Yeah. Oh, it's a tell. I mean, it's,
okay,
it's a tell of your
hide it.
It's hard. It's a tarred tell.
You know, that's like the ultimate tell right there.
Yeah. I don't think Dutch wants to give us any of his tells at all.
Nor do I,
that he knows about anybody.
Watch the ESPN World Series of Poker with Dutch Boyd. He's one of the guys. We've already found out he's the big loser. He's not the big winner. But watch him anyway. And listen, thanks for joining us.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thanks,
okay.
Dutch. Thanks for coming on the show, and good luck in your future tournaments.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There he goes.
Smart guy. I don't think Dutch would tell us anything about anything.
No, and I
got that impression that he was keeping everything to himself.
Yeah.
I wanted to see a tell, you know, that the guy's, like, right nostril started to twitch.
And I didn't even get a chance to ask him what Dutch stands for.
Right.
You know, Dutch is obviously a nickname for something.
Right.
And, you know, if he takes a girl out of one day, it's in a Dutch treat. And has he ever had a Dutch oven?
A Dutch oven.
Yeah.
Yeah, we forgot the Dutch.
All of that stuff.
There you go.
Anyway, he's a serious poker player. Did you get out of him?
I didn't get anything out of him.
Were you able to at least ascertain if he's going to be on the show tonight?
I didn't get that out of him.
He kept the poker face.
You think he's going to be on the ESPN show tonight?
I don't know, but now my wallet's empty.
Right.
That's Dutch.
I remember Rob's tell. Remember Rob's tell? when he'd get a great hand and he'd wet himself.
Phone number 877.
Sometimes even more.
877-365-3636. That's our phone number. We got to take unscreened calls at least once a show.
That's a gamble.
Now's the time. You bet your ass, Buzz. 877-365-3636. That's the number. Dial recklessly right now, you animals. We will take your calls on the rotating random phone scan we get back from the spots. Let's check with Beth Ann. She would know if that guy...
Hello?
Hey, yeah. is that guy going to be on tonight?
No, he said he's not... The final tables that he made, I think he said in August. Isn't that what he said?
Yeah, he's going to be on in August.
Back in August.
Do you know what his tell is, Beth?
How much he's made?
No, exactly.
Do you know what a tell is, Beth?
Beth Ann.
Excuse me, Beth Ann.
I guess that's how much you make. Is that right, his take?
No. Sorry, you didn't get it right, Beth Ann.
Want to play poker with us?
Hey, look at that. Somebody that Buzz can pick on.
Yeah.
finally, the odds have turned in Buzz's favor.
Thank God.
Somebody worse than Buzz.
Beth Ann, do you know how to shuffle cards?
No.
You don't?
Your deal.
You have any change in Tupperware?
Yeah, let me ask you, Beth Ann. If you were going to come to my house to play poker with us...
I would probably win.
That's the right attitude.
Okay, now, everybody comes over with like $20 or $30.
Okay.
Would you bring a couple of 20s or four $10 bills, or would you bring some 5s and some 1s, or would you bring $30 in coins?
And it's not in Tupperware, it's in a baggie.
Sometimes Tupperware, sometimes
the first time it was in a baggie.
And it has to be in coins?
No, it doesn't. Let me just ask, let me just ask you, would you bring paper money, or would you bring $20 to $30 in coin form, whether it be in a paper bag or a Tupperware container?
I'd probably bring paper money.
Probably bring paper money.
Well, she can play the game.
There you go.
There you go.
You know what I'd like to see is the one-on-one showdown between Buzz and Beth Ann.
Yeah.
That's a nice one-on-one poker showdown.
Yeah. Beth Ann and Buzz Ann.
All right. So that guy's not even going to be on the dumb show tonight.
Maybe not.
Not tonight.
Maybe not tomorrow.
But he's got a cool poker name, Dutch Boyd.
Yeah. And I also got an email that from somebody that says Dutch Boyd is a cheat.
Is it cheat?
Oh.
Yeah, well, Dutch Boy didn't reveal a lot, and I found him a little hinky.
Yeah, cagey, right. Slippery.
A little elusive.
We'll check him out. Okay, thank you, Beth.
Okay, bye, Beth Ann.
All right, Beth Ann.
Bye.
Okay, goodbye. Phone scan, that's next.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Have you seen the new intern? Extraordinary. Wouldn't I like to give her the old pork sausage? Hello, Jimmy Dean.
The Don and Mike Show. Rated PG. Pretty good. The Don and Mike Show.
All right, phone scan next. Joe, get in here, please. Tomorrow we're giving away 2 trips to Atlantic City, plus transportation and hotel accommodations at the Trump Plaza.
Cool.
To go see the big fight on the weekend of Saturday, July 24th, from HBO. We'll give those away on tomorrow's episode. But just a reminder, if you can't watch The Amazing Race tonight,
right,
we'll have the losers from that on tomorrow's show. Just ahead of your calls on the rotating random phone scan, it's time now for 60 seconds of Joe Ardinger reading from the Bill Clinton book, My Life. And now...
Wait, where am I supposed to...
Here you go. Excuse me, Joe. Here's Joe.
Don will select the passage for you. And then you will read it, Joe.
There we go, right there. Got it?
And now here he is, Joe Ardinger.
From page 187 of My Life by Bill Clinton. The street outside the diner was the border dividing the territory of two groups of street-walking prostitutes. From time to time, the police took them away, but they were always quickly back at work. The streetwalkers often came into the diner to get coffee and warm up. When they found out I was in law school, several would plop down in my booth in search of free legal advice. I did my best, but none took the best advice. Get another job. One night, a tall black transvestite sat down across from me and said his social club wanted to raffle off a television to make money. He wanted to know if the raffle would run afoul of the law against gambling. I later learned what he was really worried about was that the television was stolen. It had been donated to the club by a friend who ran a fencing operation, buying stolen goods and reselling them at a discount. Anyway, I told him that other groups held raffles all the time, and it was highly unlikely that the club would be prosecuted. In return for my wise counsel...
Thank you. That was so good.
That's all the time we have.
Thank you very much.
Another moment with Joe Ardinger reading from the Bill Clinton book, My Life, Why Buy It?
He settled down into a fine comedic reading there.
But the thing is, it's not comedic. It's Joe.
It's Joe really reading.
It's comedic for us. It's Joe reading.
Usually he's had too much energy, and that was the real Joe right there.
That was good, and I've done the math. We'll be done with the book about the middle of next week.
So listen, no need to go buy that thing. Because Joe reads you a page or two every day on the show. Yeah,
thank you so much, Joe.
Now, phone scan. Or anybody can call 877-365-3636. Oh, the TikTok. You know,
you've got a limited amount of time on this phone scan.
The TikTok started like the phone scan music started. Gosh, we've just got so many buttons now. It's so much.
They all run together after a while.
Are these buttons still the same buttons? Yes, it is. All right, the phone scan. Here we go. I hope you know the phone numbers. 877-365-3636, in case you don't. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan. Hello.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Okay, my friend.
Hey, just wanted to let you know an interesting thing about Dutch Boyd. He went to college when he was 12 and graduated from law school when he was 18.
Wow.
So he's a genius.
He's a boy genius. Great. Turned professional gambler.
What happened to him?
Yeah, he didn't sound like a genius.
What happened to him?
I don't know.
Didn't you think he was kind of,
slow.
Slow. No better word.
Just playing it close to the vest.
No, I don't think so. But, you know, there are guys who can act dumb.
Mm-hmm.
There are guys.
Maybe he is, though. Maybe he convinced us, and that means he is a genius.
Do you think he hung up the phone and he said, well, I certainly showed them now, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get back to the calculation. E equals MC squared. What are the odds of a queen of clubs being dealt as the flop card on the...
Hello, Winthrop, you will be amazed. I was on the air with two of the biggest buffoons you'd ever want to hear.
I'm pretty sure the first thing he said when he hung up the phone was... Is there any beef jerky in the mini bar?
Got any gum?
I hated talking to those dummies.
Man, they wanted to know all the stuff that I know.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Phone scan. Hello.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
Being a Boston Red Sox fan, I was surprised you didn't ask Dutch Boyd about his stepfather.
Who's his stepfather?
Oil Pan Boyd.
You win.
I don't even like baseball, and that's funny.
That is funny. Oil Can Boyd.
Pretty good.
And, you know, not going the Dutch route, going to the last
Boyd, thing. Right.
Fantastic.
Well, hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Frank, my buddies.
What?
Don and Mike.
Yes, we are. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing, Don?
We're doing very well.
Hey, Mike. Hey, listen, the reason why I was calling is the Anchorman, he gave us such a good promotion yesterday, but we went last night, and it just blew.
Mm. Well, I don't know how to tell you this. You just don't know funny.
No, come on.
No, come
Will
on.
Will Ferrell don't know funny. That movie blew. There wasn't 20 seconds of good movie in there.
Listen, how many different ways can I tell you this?
You know, what do you think? Do you think that the Will Ferrell factor, that some people can't get by the Will Ferrell factor?
Maybe that's the case, but let me just put this as nicely. I'm really not going to put you down. How many different ways can I explain it to you? You're wrong and I'm right. I'm right and you're wrong.
Two.
All right.
Everybody else is right and you're wrong.
You're
just wrong. Your mom was wrong. Your dad was wrong. No, Will Ferrell is outstanding and Anchorman is a great movie. I stand
and
by
you,
it.
And you say that even if you don't really like
Will Ferrell,
you might like this movie.
You're going to be... Mike, hold on. Didn't you hate Will Ferrell before Old School?
I didn't like Will Ferrell after Old School.
I did. Listen, I know you. Go see Anchorman.
All right, okay. I mean, I remember when I said that to you about something about Mary.
And I know you'll be honest. You'll come back.
I will be completely honest.
But I bet you'll laugh your ass.
I hope I do.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, stay classy. I'm telling you, it's funny. Tell me if you don't see the scene where he takes his shirt off, where he's talking about the guns. Of course, his bicep.
See, now right there, though, when I hear you say that, I have to. You're asking me to be honest, and when I hear that, I'm hearing that's what Will Ferrell does every time he's in a movie.
But I know it is. But watch it. I will.
I have to go see it.
See, the thing is, I can't tell you all.
Just don't have the time.
I'm going to ruin it for you if I tell you everything.
I can't take my daughters to it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Especially with the erection scene.
Oh, really?
Hello. Yeah. Well, remember I told you yesterday a family walked out.
Well, right.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don, are you still a Batman nut?
Yes.
Have you seen the new Batmobile for this new movie?
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it. You know, here's the thing. The new Batman, although I think it's a great choice, it's Patrick Bateman.
Right, yeah. What's his name?
But the thing about...
Christian Bale.
The thing about this is that they're taking Batman back to even a darker time than when Tim Burton did Batman. And even though it's a modern-day Batman, the Batmobile that he's going to be driving... seriously looks like something from Mad Max.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah, it looks like a DeLorean that has the chassis of a Hummer and just has big pieces of metal, like hammered haphazardly.
So it's not a sleek feat of engineering like the other Batmobiles?
Not at all. And this is what I want, incidentally. Yeah.
They are off once again.
Yeah.
What a Batman movie with that suit.
Yeah.
Turbine speed.
Fins.
You're ready to move out.
As much as I like Anchorman, I like Spider-Man 2 as well, and Spider-Man 1. And wasn't Spider-Man great? You saw
Spider-Man 2 is the best superhero movie, comic book superhero movie that I've ever seen. And there have been a lot of them. This one... is just fabulous the way it's written, the way and you don't even have to care about comic books to go and enjoy this movie. And I think maybe the interview with Stan Lee got me pumped up even more to see it, because I was thinking about what you said about the comic book and how they met, and I was is it Aunt May?
Yeah.
I was thinking about how close she is and the way they lead into it by using kind of the pseudo animation when you
see the opening credits.
Yeah, from the opening credits to the very end, and Tobey Maguire, who is really one of the better actors of his generation. I thought it was fantastic, and then you got Kirsten Dunst.
Yeah. And go see Anchorman. You'll laugh. I guarantee you'll laugh.
Now I'm nervous though, because if I really don't like it,
that's okay.
I don't want to anger you.
You won't anger me. Listen, I'm not tied to Will Ferrell in any way.
The whole thing about Will Ferrell. There's something about Will. I see Will Ferrell interviewed. I see Will Ferrell on a game show. And Will Ferrell makes me angry. He's so unfunny.
Listen. So do I.
Okay. Then
yet I went to the movie, and I went to the movie thinking I only liked Will Ferrell in Old School. I kind of liked him in Elf, but I'm not over the top
for him. But here's the deal. We play that tape of Will Ferrell getting the dart in the neck, and I laugh out loud every time because it's so funny.
There's a lot of spots in Anchorman that you're going to laugh out loud
at. I'm particularly anti-Ferrell, too, but you didn't get turned around a little in Elf?
I didn't see Elf.
Nah. He was so good in Elf.
Pretty good.
Elf is my Titanic.
Let me say this about Will Ferrell, too. And maybe I'm wrong about this. His shelf life is about two more movies.
Do you think so?
Yeah. I think so. He's tapped in maybe one more round.
He does the Shameless thing where he shows his horrible body.
And come on, it's great because there's a lot of scenes of him walking around the pool with just underpants on. I mean, it's funny.
Well, I will go see it.
The movie's funny.
I'm going to go see it.
If it is a one-trick pony, that's a pretty good trick.
And check out the guy from The Daily Show, the guy that who's
that
Greek
guy. I think it's fantastic. All right, I'm going to go see it.
The whole news team is.
I got to go. I got to go see it right now.
Hello, Don and Mike. Well, wait till the end of the show.
Okay.
Hello.
Hello there, Dones and Mike.
Listen, this is Limited.
Hello, Don.
No.
I'm your pappy.
No.
Don, where's my Cadillac?
Okay. I'll let you get through, because that's the same guy that always calls and says he's my dad. He's happy for my caddy.
He might be becoming the regular caller almost a daily basis.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I love Will Ferrell, but I got to tell you, I didn't like the Anchorman. The guy from The Daily Show stole that movie.
Okay.
Wait a minute. But there are like three different thoughts in that.
You
statement.
Don't like Will Ferrell. You didn't.
No, I love Will Ferrell.
I liked Will Ferrell.
You didn't like.
I love Will Ferrell.
You didn't
I
like.
I went to see the movie last night on your suggestion. I thought I was disappointed with it. But the guy, I think the funniest guy in it is the guy from The Daily Show.
So now, hold on. When you left the theater, did you like it or not? Because the guy from The Daily Show is in the movie. He's in the movie a lot.
Yeah, no, I liked what he did in the movie, but I don't.
He's in the movie for about 60. He's in about 60% of the movie.
Yeah, and he was funny, but I don't think it carried the movie.
So you didn't overall. You didn't like the movie.
No, I loved Elf.
I'm sorry that your mom dropped you on your head when you were a kid. you know what? And let me just say this.
Now I'm getting nervous. I'm hearing.
Let me just say to you, listeners. God damn you, listeners, for making me stand here and defend Will Ferrell. I don't feel comfortable doing this.
That's a horrible position to be in.
I sat through years of his mediocre impressions on Saturday
Night
Live.
Think about the cheerleaders, Don.
Yeah, Mike, I think about it constantly. But there's a part of me, right here by the ticker that says I have to tell you the truth. I laughed out loud maybe 25 times during the movie.
Very good. All right.
During Anchorman. Please. Where are some of the retards that spent $28 million this week like me watching it? Every call I get is, I didn't like it, Don. I didn't like it, Don. I only went to see it because you said you liked it, Don.
Rob, when the movie came out, Rob was saying, usually, we've got the sources here, 3 or 4 reviews for every new movie. Mm-hmm. And occasionally when you see them and they're all good, that's what you do. And they were all good in the newspapers until I found, I think it was Entertainment Weekly, and the one that was bad was just very, very, very bad.
Well,
so I mean, who knows?
I'm not going to say I'll refund the money if you don't like it. But I loved it.
I got to go in. I've got to really, I'm going to call Bill Godwin. And before I go into the movie, I've got to get electroshock. Just to erase my mind with any preconceived notions.
And have your teeth all pulled out.
Yeah, and then I'll go in.
And have sex with 1,000 men.
And then you'll get an honest response.
Hello, Don of my show.
Hey, Don, Mike, this is Steve of Sacramento.
Hi there, hold on.
Steve-O is the nickname.
Steve-O, nice talking to you. Unless you're the real guy from Jackass.
Doubtful.
And I watch that movie now because it's all over cable, and hello. I can't turn away from that.
Don and Mike, hello.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
How's it going, man?
Okay.
Listen, Will Ferrell is funny. And I love the movie, and I haven't even seen it yet.
All right, thank you for that informed opinion.
Yeah, it was amazing the way he was able to talk through the marbles.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello there, Don and Mike. Hey, Don. You know what your buff name is?
What?
Tyrone Bofa.
I'm not even going to ask why. Hello, Don and Mike show. I think that was like make us laugh thing. Hello, Don and Mike. Did it make you laugh, Rob?
I never laugh.
Hello, Don and Mike.
We're talking about Anchorman.
Here's a scene.
Thank you for waiting. Your patience is appreciated. Please hold the line and we'll be right back with you.
This is on our request line number 3.
Hello?
Yes, hello, this is Don and Mike. Who's this?
Hello?
Hello, this is Don
and
Mike.
Dennis? Is this Dennis Murphy?
Yeah. Hey, how you going?
Dennis, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, I was on hold. Sorry.
Jesus Christ.
We were on hold.
Hold on, Dennis.
I'm not the beautiful lady from Chicago.
I pick up the phone, I go Don and Mike show, and I hear beautiful music on hold. We start doing a bit around that, and then all of a sudden it says, your call is important to us. Please stay on the line.
Dennis, what was going on there?
I have another phone call. Caller.
Are you working now?
Yes, I'm working.
Are you temping?
Yes.
Okay, and what can we do for you? Dennis Murphy, major effing star, what's happening?
I just want to thank you for...
No, hold on. Now, you know what you did again? And I'm on you this time. And because really, this is a bad Dennis Murphy call. The whole thing about being on hold. And then you just started the answer with no.
Oh.
You said no. Don asked you a direct question, and you started it with no.
Remember, you're not allowed to answer any more questions by starting with the word no.
Yes.
Dennis?
Yeah.
Did you hear the Bill Godwin interview today?
I did.
Did you hear what he had done?
No, I'm not pulling my cheek out.
Well, no, I was just going to say, last time we spoke, you said that if a dentist would replace all your teeth, you'd go for it.
Yeah, I will.
I'm going to tie this into Anchorman. Hold on a second, because...
I'm like a beautiful lady from Chicago.
In the movie Anchorman... which one is dark hair?
Luke
Wilson plays a guy who only has one arm.
Okay.
He's a TV journalist who only has one arm. And I don't want to ruin it for you, but
really?
By the end of the movie, Dennis has got 50% up on him.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
That's another funny spot.
I will eject.
Wait, you're a regular caller. Why did you call?
No, you started with no.
Don't start with no.
Yeah, okay.
Why did you call, Dennis?
Just to say hello.
Okay, goodbye.
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 Hang up.
Jack.
Hang on.
Maybe, seriously, the worst call he's ever made.
What a tard.
My dentist never called me back about the Da Vinci veneers, so if there is a dental professional out there that would be interested in picking
after
him up.
After that call, I don't know if we should help him.
Dennis has, like, canine teeth. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh, the veneers.
Hello.
Don and Mike?
Yeah, hi there.
Oh, Don and Mike, how's it going?
Okay, it's going great.
I just want to let you know, I've been listening to you since I was 13 years old. And I'm 22 right now.
Mm-hmm.
I get a little ready for
quite a bio.
What?
I said that's quite a biography.
It is, but there's more. I mean, I get home every day from middle school. I'd play a little NHL 95.
Wait a minute, you said you're 22.
Well, he's talking about back when he was in middle school.
Oh, back when you were in middle
school. Oh, yeah. I was back with Nick Joe and...
Uh-huh.
And
right. So you've been listening to the show for a long time. We appreciate it. What can we do for you?
Oh, no, that's all. I just wanted to say...
Let me salute you, because you're a good, loyal listener. Can I ask your name?
My name's Joe.
Thanks, Joe. So, Joe, you've been listening how long?
I've been listening for about, I'm not good at math. 6 years?
How many years?
8 years, 9 years.
Well, you said you started when you were 13, you're 22, maybe 9 years. Yeah.
All right, so the Don Mike, loyal listener of the day. I got you. What was your first name?
My name's Joe.
And Joe, what's your last name?
Davidson.
Joe Davidson.
Why is that pause?
Hey, see you later.
Yeah, I pooped out a hammer.
It doesn't work if you say it.
But I pooped out a hammer, right?
No, okay, hold on, I get what he's doing.
You get it?
That's from Anchorman.
I see.
We can't use the war, the alarm, I'm going to say the word.
So confused. Get information or a pamphlet at most pharmacies or a health clinic.
We never hear this.
If you need help, see a doctor.
Right.
We never hear the disclaimer
of
the VD.
The very end of it, yes.
I'm going to say the H word, but give me some leniency.
Right of here.
Yes. Because the word hammer is used in the movie Anchorman.
Oh, I'm sorry.
By the guy who was on The Daily Show.
All right.
My bad, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, no, it doesn't matter because I just said it was okay that I said it.
Did you give yourself a free pass so we're not going to hit the alarm?
Right. I just did.
That's not true. It can't be done. Whenever any of us say it, the alarm goes off.
Oh, I'm glad you're happy, dummy.
Thank you. I love it. Love you, bud.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Click, click. Oh, okay, get out of here. Last call. Don and Mike show. Hello, phone scan.
I'm the last caller.
That's right.
Fabulous.
You gotta have more than that, though, dude.
You know, I called in earlier with the oil can Boyd. I think that alone qualifies me.
No, I tell you what, I don't like people. I wouldn't mind that you got through twice, but the fact that you highlight
it's just a little too greedy.
I tell you what bothers me about it. It makes it sound like it's very easy to get through to the show, and maybe it is easy. But the last I heard, it was tough. That
it is hard.
Redial a million times.
Absolutely.
It sounds awful to have the same guy on twice in one phone scan.
Yeah.
It's like when I'm watching the Regis show, and oh boy, is Regis out of his mind today? I'm watching with Kelly. She's talking about her husband who's got a bad TV movie on the Lifetime Network and how she's going to be on the cover of TV Guide with this other girl.
She taking a little swim in Lake Mead today?
From Hope and Faith and how lucky she is. And he's just sitting there with his arms closed. And he does have the perfect... He says, she gets done with everything. And you can tell, because he's a 70-year-old man.
Right. He's a curmudgeon.
He's an old dude. He just goes, are you done?
Oh, my God.
And she goes, yes, Big Daddy, or whatever patronizing thing she said to him. And she goes, what did you do? He said, I had the glove test.
Oh, no wonder he's grumpy.
No, the old man, no pun intended, is sitting on a gold mine. He's waiting to tell everybody about his test.
Did he get the big laugh with the house frows in that audience?
Yes, he did.
Good, okay. I'm glad they were paying attention.
So good for Regis Philbin. But here's my point. And on the Regis show today... They had when they go to their moron trivia,
right?
When they get the caller on the phone, the woman, they go, "Hi, let's go to Marsha Burbank," and they say, "Hi, how you doing?" And she said, "Don't you guys remember me? I was just on a month ago. I won a fabulous trip to Jamaica." And right away,
did they totally get
right
burned?
Right away, you see both Regis and Kelly's heads like on a swivel going around, and then their producer goes, "Well, you know, every month we throw away the cards, so you have to enter, you know, every month." But still,
that's bad. They should it's once every 30 days.
Right. Well, I guess they don't have that rule. I don't know. Anyway, it sounds bad when someone can get through a million times.
Hey, man, it happened here.
If this is the same guy calling again, I'm going to shoot myself. Hello.
John and Mike.
Different guy. Hi, who's this?
This is Greg from Waldorf. How you guys doing?
Hi, Greg. Listen, you're the last caller. What can we do for you?
Sweet. I know that you guys have Amazing Race losers on tomorrow. Whatever happened to Rupert from Survivor?
That's a good point. Michael Hughes has not answered that.
I love Rupert. I was waiting for him to come on because I know you guys would ask the tough
questions. The shelf life on Rupert, Rupert has enough mold on him right now where we should be able to get him on the show.
You know what? Vice President of whatever, he's Vice President of Infinity, Michael Hughes, the other week he came into the office and he said, hey, listen, I've got an update on Rupert. I swear to God, this is the conversation that we had. He said, I talked to my friend in Indianapolis, where Rupert was from. He said...
Where Rupert just came back from Costco buying furniture.
Yeah, and he said, dig this about this guy Rupert. He won $1 million. He's got an endorsement deal. He went, it was Sam's Club. He went to Sam's to buy furniture. He said, isn't that a crazy story? And I swear to God, I looked him right in the eye and said, you know anything that would make that story better? Would be is if it was on our show.
Good answer.
You know, ass.
Yeah, and now Rupert, I mean, whether we get him or not.
The whole point was it was just one of our manager guys who was positive he could book a guest for the show, and of course, he couldn't. Tomorrow, you're right, we'll have the losers from The Amazing Race on, and you have won the complete second season of 6 Feet Under on Divid. That's a 5-disc boxed set from HBO.
Sorry, I couldn't pull that interview off for you.
Who are you?
I'm Michael Hughes.
Plus, you've got tickets to see the Orioles play the Red Sox July 26th.
That's a fun game.
Your Major League Baseball tickets are courtesy of Comcast SportsNet and their Orioles postgame, and that's for our friends in Baltimore with Live 105. Thank you for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Most websites give you a picture and a paragraph.
Who are you?
I'm Neil Michael Hughes.
We'll be right back with Beth Ann's charity case of the week.
Hmm. But no Rupert.
No Rupert from Survivor.
Sorry, guys.
But some guy from Casino. Who are you again?
I'm Michael Hughes.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Did you really mean what you said up there?
Uh-huh. I just want you to be happy, Mary.
But I'd be happiest with you.
What about Brett Favre?
The Don and Mike Show. We apologize in advance for Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Thank you. What about Brett Favre? And what about our fantasy football draft? Are we going to do it before the preseason starts? We could let a couple weeks go in preseason.
Well, I think that it would benefit you if we did it after preseason, because I know you watch all the preseason games.
I'm up for it at any point, because you know, remember...
I'd like to do it after the preseason. I'd like to do it close to the real season.
All right, we can do... Well, but... Yeah, you know, we can. We can do it right before the opening weekend.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this year, we got to figure out which one of us we trust enough to be the commissioner.
Well, I'm out.
So am I.
I make a nomination.
Who?
John Norman.
I think that's excellent. He might kill you. He might kill you for that.
No, I don't think so. He might enjoy it.
He might not want the job.
It ends up being a lot of...
He's not here until Thursday.
Rob, you hated it.
It ends up being a lot of aggravation being the commissioner of our fantasy football league.
Picked a bad day not to be here. I second that nomination.
I think really if we're going to do the right thing and just keep everything consistent, Beth Ann should be the commissioner. That's a little joke.
Hey, I got... Why don't we just call Charlie?
Ask him to come back.
Have him come back.
Come back and be the commissioner.
Because it worked so well when he was the commissioner.
Absolutely.
Listen, we'll figure it out. But here's all I do know, is that the very first preseason game, which I know is worthless, mm-hmm. is now less than 30 days away.
Unbelievable. August 9th.
Now less than 30 days away. You've got your
Hall of Fame game.
And you've got the American Bowl, and then
boom.
Bring it on, baby.
I would like to tell you that this is going to be my year.
Boy, am I ready for
I'm
it.
I'm going to have a juggernaut team this year. Okay.
Beth Ann, would you come in before we get this guy from the casino on? I want to very briefly bring everybody up to speed. Bethann McBride, who is our producer, is fantastic.
Bam is great.
The only complaint that I would have is that she has a bit of an emotional attachment to people that she's booked on the show who get bumped.
Right.
And this is a good thing. This is a problem we didn't used to have.
Right.
Now that we have a lot of guests on the show, sometimes they get bumped. Now, this is a guy who's been bumped 3 weeks in a row?
Twice.
Okay. So...
But I harassed him during your whole vacation to make sure he was going to be there the day you got back.
Okay. Her word is her bond.
So this is a guy who's not a star of the reality show, The Casino. He was simply featured on the first episode?
I think it was the second episode.
Where he counted cards at the Golden Nugget?
Right.
Yeah, and the whole staff was alarmed. Oh, my gosh. So they had all the security cameras on him. He's a big guy, so they call him Big Chuck.
So here's my question for you, just for future reference. It's like a little on-the-job training. Why would it be so tough just to call this guy and say, hey, you know what? Your window is passed, and we've moved on to other things. But you really came and said, boy, I don't want to let this guy down.
You think he's going to be good?
I think he's going to be very good. Better than Dutch Boyd, maybe.
Oh.
Well, listen,
that's
maybe.
Aim low.
You say what could be better than Dutch Boyd?
Aim low. I love that.
Big Chuck.
Big Chuck. You think so? Well, I must tell you something. I'm on your side. You're a great producer. I'll follow your instincts, but I'm exhausted. I cannot do any more interviewing today. I'm exhausted. Mike, are you exhausted?
I am spent. I am spent.
Okay, and Bethann, I would never put you on the spot.
Right.
So go ahead. All we need to know before we do the interview, what's the guy's name?
Big Chuck.
Big Chuck. And anybody that watched the show on Fox, The Casino, would know the guy?
Yeah, and I saw it.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, but you have no friends. You watch everything on
TV.
Right. How's your dog doing, Bethann?
Much better.
Oh, that's good news.
Everyone keep their fingers crossed.
Absolutely. Will.
Okay, here's a quiz. Who do you love more? Your daughter or your dog?
No one more. Equal.
That's right.
That's fair.
Hasn't
changed from that.
Solidly fair.
I hope the dog feels better because we bought it a ticket to Greece for the Olympics.
That is harsh.
I do need some help, and I see the phones are lighting up, but there's no need for you guys to call in and help. Come on. Come on in. If we could just get the goddamn... There it is. There's the goddamn... Hey, Charlie.
Hello, I'm here to interview Big Chuck. Big Chuck counts cards.
Now, have you ever watched The Casino on Fox?
No.
Have you ever been to Las Vegas?
No, I haven't.
You know how to play poker?
No, I don't.
Do you know that Bethann, for whatever reason,
Beth Ann's great.
She will not let this guest go?
Yes, I know. She said, Charlie, go in and interview Big Chuck.
All right, Charlie, you ready to...
I'm ready.
Okay, let's put him on now.
I see Method in Red.
Oh, you like Method in Red?
Uh-huh.
That's a good show.
Funny.
It's funny. What's funny about that show?
I don't know. When do I get to interview the ice cream man?
Oh,
that's who I really want to interview.
I think we're working on that booking, Charlie.
The ice cream man, the ice cream man. No one can stop the ice cream man, the ice cream man.
Okay, here we go.
Big Chuck, I got my questions.
Okay, you ready?
Oh, good.
All right, then, Buzz, if you would give Charlie a brief introduction, saying that we're not here, but we have a guest host. And ready?
Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's the Charlie Interview. Now, here's Charlie.
Hello, my name is Charlie Stuwang Stabilak, and my guest right now is a guy named Big Chuck. He's on a television show called The Casino. Hello, Big Chuck.
Hello.
Hey, Big Chuck.
You.
Is your name short for Charlie?
Charles, yes.
My name is Charlie, too.
Well, hi, Charlie.
C-H-A... I-L-Y.
Well, okay.
Did you have a good time being on the TV show?
I did. I enjoyed it immensely.
How many cards did you count?
I can count a few.
Let's get busy. All right, Big Chuck. Do you like to play cards?
I do, Charlie.
How long do you play cards for when you go to a casino?
Well, as long as they let me.
Do you take breaks for food?
Do I do what?
Do you take breaks, Chuck, for food?
No.
You don't eat?
No drinking.
I like to eat. I like to eat. What do you like to eat?
I like to eat, you know, I eat gourmet food, steaks, lobster, I eat pretty good.
Oh, I love steak. Steak's good. Have you ever been to Outback?
Yeah, I love Outback.
That's the best steak in the world.
Yeah. I took my kids there last night.
I find the numerous rules of poker befuddling. What say you?
They're very tough to get, but I think we can teach you to it. Hey, even you, Charlie.
Hey, Big Chuck, I like you.
Thank you.
Can you say something for me?
Sure, what?
Say, Charlie's a card shark.
Charlie's a card shark.
Hey, Charlie.
Yes, Don. Hey, Big Chuck, this is my friend Don.
Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Don.
Hey, Charlie, tell Chuck. Who's the girl that loves Big Chuck? Who's the girl that loves Big Chuck?
Oh, I don't want to get in trouble.
Who's the girl who loves Big Chuck?
I hate Big Chuck.
You.
You know the person that likes you a lot?
Yeah, my daughter Samantha and Tammy and Sherry.
No, it's Miss Beth Ann.
Miss Beth Ann, is that nice? She's sweetheart.
Yes, she is. She likes you a lot. She wanted to make sure you were on the show. She said, Charlie, whatever you do, go into the studio and interview Big Chuck.
Even though he was on the show 2.5 weeks ago. See, Charlie, you might be able to explain to Chuck that we were going to bump him. What, Charlie?
I'm listening. I'm reading your lips.
We were going to bump him a couple of weeks ago because we had a very busy schedule.
Right.
But Beth Ann feels a personal relationship with this guy.
Is that nice?
And Miss Beth Ann, Rob told me, Mr. Spiewak said that Miss Beth Ann guarantees second base. That's
well,
what he said.
Send me down. I don't know if you saw my program. I'm ready to play. I'm single.
Hey, are you a big star now that you've been on TV?
A little bit.
Oh, that's great. What's the most money you've ever won, Big Chuck?
A couple hundred grand, $199,000.
Oh, my God. That buys a lot of food. Do you like pizza?
I love pizza.
I love pizza. That's my favorite food. What's your favorite kind?
Charlie.
Charlie.
Pepperoni.
What, Chuck?
You're a sick puppy, Charlie.
I'm a sick puppy. Hey, Big Chuck, I got a question for you.
Yo, I'm ready.
Let's get busy. Would you teach me how to play cards?
I would. In fact, I've got a junket going to Vegas August 5th, 6th, and 7th.
You got a
6th,
junket?
7th, and 8th.
What's a junket?
You know, I host it. I'm there personally, and you get the room, the food, the beverage. You get everything.
Can I come?
And you get instruction. You can come yourself, Charlie. Even though it's hard,
$19.95
for it.
Well, how much does it cost?
$19.95.
I'll be there. $20? I got that.
I think it's $1,995.
Oh, no.
Correct, Don.
$1,995.
So if I only had $20 and it was
Well, for you, it's $20. For the rest of the world, it's
$19.95,
Charlie.
Chuck, I would love to come.
Charlie.
And you'll learn how to play. The next time you go without me, your vacation will be free.
Oh, my God. That's great.
What I would
You're
like
gonna
you to do.
You're going to vacation around the world.
Find a nice, polite way now to get rid of this guy. Now that he's been on the show, that we've fulfilled that.
Okay, you taught me how to do that.
All right, go ahead.
Hey, Big Chuck, we got to fly. Time's short.
Okay, Charlie.
Bye.
Well done, Charlie.
How did I do?
Please, you did good.
He's still on the line, Charlie.
Oh!
No, come on.
All right. Hey, Big Chuck.
Yo.
What is one thing you would like to tell all of my listeners to the Charles Durang Stabilak Show before you say au revoir?
Go to my website, bigchucks.com with an S, and hopefully I can help you to live and learn and paint the casinos.
Thank you, Big Chuck. It was fantastic. And who's your favorite interviewer?
Don and Mike, even though I didn't get to speak to them.
No.
Wrong answer.
No, Charlie Stuang Stabilak.
And who's the producer who will definitely go to third base with you?
Beth Ann.
Yeah! Thank you, Big Chuck.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Charlie.
Later.
Bye-bye.
I bet it went real well.
It did.
Miss Beth Ann, second base. That means bat, right?
Yeah, that's right. Oh, hold on. This is probably Beth Ann calling. Hello.
Next time, I'm just going to blow them off.
Hello.
How many people go through that?
Hello, Miss Beth Ann.
Hey, Charlie.
How are you doing?
Fine. I haven't even been in the ballpark, much less kind of the first, second, or third base.
Oh, we could go out and play sometime.
We should.
Yeah, see, Beth Ann, it's just easier just to cut them at the knees and tell them thanks, but no thanks.
That was painful.
Miss Beth Ann.
No, that was fun. That was great.
Miss Beth Ann.
Yeah? Yes, Charlie.
What's your dog's name?
Bunny.
Buddy?
Bunny with an N.
Oh, I will say a prayer for Bunny tonight. Okay?
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay. Mr. Spiewak said he wants you to send your dog to Greece.
I heard.
Where they pile them up.
I know. 80.
Dead.
Time.
Mm-hmm. No.
Okay. Bye.
Said bye, Beth Ann.
Bye-bye.
Take care, Bam.
Bye-bye.
Beth Ann McBride.
In a world where on the radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
He made it up.
He made it up.
I know that by heart.
What is your lead story? Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Don.
What's your lead story on the news and comments today, Buzz?
Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Charlie. Quick, what color is our terror alert level right now, and what does that color mean?
Brown.
Brown?
An interesting guess, but no.
That Buzz is a whale of a storyteller.
We'll find out about the colors in a moment.
I gotta go.
Oh,
I really gotta go.
Okay, all right.
I gotta go brown.
For news and comments coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
And Charlie, that was very
professional. I gotta go. I'll be like the guy in Jackass.
Go brown.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word for Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
They only hit you because they love you.
Yeah.
Don and Mike.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video. Tom Monroe from his latest disc entitled Tom Monroe on a New Wavelength. And that's a pretty thing called Turning Japanese. Time for Buzz's news and comments now. Buzz brought to you by Zeramax. Number one, sexual pleasure performance enhancer. Does it really work?
Someone call for a doctor.
Doctor developed and clinically tested patented Duramax, available retailers nationwide. Call 1-888-TRY-VMAX. Hi, Buzz. Oh, I forgot to
do that. Hi, Don and Mike.
Chicago. Yeah, there you go. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, guys. A new government report says the color-coded terror threat system is so vague and confusing it may be useless. And now, leading lawmakers are talking about overhauling the thing.
The General Accounting Office, which investigates stuff like this for Congress, surveyed scores of police departments and state officials and even federal officials. The answer they got, that the color coding isn't clear and actually hurts their ability to decide whether we're at risk.
I think you're going to be okay here. They got a thin candy shell.
Threat fatigue gets part of the blame. You can't live life by walking on eggshells. You get desensitized being yellow all the time.
Yellow.
Quoting one lawmaker.
Tell me about it.
The public's
actually,
going to...
it's a problem for my doctor.
And Courtney loves doctors.
A different alert.
Oh, no, that's a red alert.
Red alert, yeah. The public's going to lose trust in that system, says one lawmaker, and won't pay any attention to it.
Gee, do you think so? Do you think that maybe we should send a copy of that old book, The Boy Who Cried Wolf?
Do you think anybody knows what the color is now? I don't.
I would imagine that it's yellow.
That is correct.
And if it's
most of the time.
Yellow is like...
And what does that mean?
Is not... Yellow, yellow means you can drive as fast as you want to get through the light and hope that it doesn't... No, I think yellow is elevated.
I mean, that's correct. I made a chart. Red is severe. That's the highest. Followed by orange, which is a high a terror
orange.
Warning.
Yellow. There is no word, excuse me, Buzz, there is no word that rhymes with orange.
No. Orange is monkeys. Who said? Orange is monkeys. Who said?
Yeah.
Orange is monkeys. Who said?
There ain't no rhyme for oranges.
Bingo.
Orange is monkeys.
There's another one.
Orange is monkeys.
There's another one.
Orange is monkeys.
There's another one. There ain't no rhyme for oranges.
That's right. Blue is guarded. That's down from... We've never seen that, I don't think. And then green is low. And then, of course, white, snowballs chance.
Oh, there is
that's
a white
that's
level?
Actually, no, actually,
no,
I just...
Oh, that's your own. He's a comedian.
I'm making a point, you know? The Department of Homeland Security calls it a good system and says it will give us more guidance.
on the color-coded system.
Here's a problem I have with that, with national news and local news, that they love coming on at the beginning and saying, threat terror elevated, Al-Qaeda out to disrupt elections, but there are no facts.
No, and nothing to back it up.
And
no,
they love to run it during the crawl, too. They love to, you know, whatever the terror level is.
And it has nothing to do with terror, but it's just a shout-out to Channel 5, Fox 5 here in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Yes.
I thought that they had cornered the market Sunday night when there was a townhouse fire.
Bad one, yeah.
And here is what they said. Fierce flames cause condo catastrophe.
Oh, wow.
And then the reporters go out and, you know, they make a lot out of it. Well, for the last couple of days, the station, especially Channel 5, the station that is more tabloid than the other ones, they've been saying, watch out, we're under a flood warning, we're going to get these torrential downpours. Well, as it turns out, they did get 9-10 inches of rain in like an hour and a half. The problem is, it happened 4 hours from here. It happened in...
Quite a drive.
In Harvard of Grace, Maryland.
Formidable flood flattens farmland.
Anyway, Mike, that was the lead.
Yeah, thank you. I have a degree in broadcast journalism.
That was the lead. Here's my point on this. It's just like with the snow. When they get the snow wrong, when they predict that it's going to snow and it doesn't, they love saying, but oh, look, at upstate New York, they got some snow.
Yeah.
So, like, okay, they said for the last 2 days that we're going to get the biggest flood since Noah.
Mm-hmm.
As it turns out, the only place that really got hammered was north of Baltimore, which is miles from Washington, D.C., but it was the lead story last night on Channel 5, because if it leads, it bleeds.
A feminine anchor edits eyebrows.
Sorry. When did I say it?
I hate that thing.
Quick.
That alarm? Can we have that removed?
I want to make a motion. I hate the alarm. I hate the hammer alarm.
I'll speak to engineering, but they've got a lot of stuff on their plate right now.
You just set it off again, Mike.
Oh, man, I hate that alarm.
Click, click.
There it is. It's off now.
Yeah. Anyway, I like the off switch, though.
Anyway,
I like that.
I think that a lot of the TV stations love scaring us, you know, because they're being scared by the government as well, right?
Hey, and is it true our good friend Gervier Dinza is going to go to Channel 5? Is that the rumor that I hear? I hear that's where she's going to go.
I do not know anything about that.
I've also heard that rumor, but I've not heard anything.
That she's actually going to just do a little switch with Tracy Neal.
You know what?
That's nice.
That'd be cool.
You know what they're big on Snowcast is they'll say, such and such, 2 inches here, 2 inches here, 10 inches in Lynchburg.
Now, keep in mind, I'm watching a station that's based in Washington, D.C.
Right.
If you're from somewhere else in the country, get out a friggin' map and look at the map and find out how far away Dover, Delaware is as concerned with Washington, D.C.
But they will go that far if they can get something bleeding or burning.
Which, and in this case, or flooding. Because last night, that's where they had a satellite crew showing you, hey, remember when we said that there was going to be some bad weather? Okay, well, it hasn't rained here for 2 days. But goddamn, if you took a 7-hour car drive, look at this.
Yeah.
Look at these poor schmucks that have been, their houses are floating down the road. Didn't you listen to us when we told you?
You know, there's an expression in this, you heard this a lot after 9/11. People like to marry themselves to the tragedy, and that's what local news does better than anybody else. No matter how far away it is, they, you know, if it's in the general area, they want to marry themselves to the tragedy so they can lead with it. That's what they do.
Now, anyway,
despite their image...
Same with Al-Qaeda, same with all this other stuff.
But despite their image, some reporters are not just out for the headline. In Iraq, a reporter for Time magazine gave up his right hand to a grenade to save the lives of a couple of U.S. soldiers.
Oh, and here's a word from that soldier.
The reporter was throwing the grenade...
reporter Dennis Murphy. Yes, private Dennis Murphy.
Yes, he was throwing the grenade out of a Humvee to fend off an enemy attack, and although the reporter did a very good thing, he's still an enterprising writer. Quoting him, I don't want to say too much about it. I should save something for the book.
Wow.
Singer Pat Boone...
Hold on, we got one more tape of this reporter.
Of the reporter, the very one-handed brave reporter.
Whoa.
There he is.
How you doing, Bull?
How you doing?
How you doing, Bull?
And it always bears repeating that he's saying, how you doing to a bull?
How you doing, Bull?
Perhaps shell-shocked.
How you doing, Bull?
Singer Pat Boone is taking aim at entertainers who have criticized the president for wanting to ban same-sex marriages.
Pat Boone says Democratic candidate John Kerry spoke from, quote, the crotch of Hollywood when he criticized the president's stand.
Pat Boone should just eat one.
Yeah, eat one, Pat Boone. What about when he wore all the leather?
Yeah, what about that? Mm-hmm. The Senate votes on a constitutional amendment tomorrow that would ban gay marriage, and celebrities are on Capitol Hill today arguing against it. One of them is 60s Disney actor Dean Jones, who said Hollywood suppresses conservative thought with its institutional liberalism.
I know some people wanting to eat the Dean's peanuts.
Also appearing against gay marriage, former Washington Redskins player Daryl Green.
Mm-hmm.
Now that
really? Daryl Green is out against...
He's out campaigning against that.
Really, what's wrong with that?
Hey, the sphere of influence.
Well, you know, everybody has a right to their opinion.
I mean, homophobia, I mean, it cuts through all racial barriers.
Why can't people be open-minded like you and I, Mike?
I don't understand.
I don't get it.
Someday everybody will be a right-thinking American.
Hey, Daryl Green, if that urban story, that urban legend is still true, that you're such a down-to-earth guy that you're still driving the same VW that you had when the Redskins drafted you over 20 years ago, you must be listening to the show right now. Hey, dude. Why can't you be more like Mike and I?
Yeah, open-minded and stuff. Tolerant.
Why can't you be more tolerant?
Really?
Like me and Mike.
That's right. You guys oppose all marriage, don't you?
I don't think he's driving that VW, though. I think he switched to a minivan.
Well, now
I love to come full circle.
Now that the government has toughened up the standards for healthy cholesterol levels, it means two things. One, we're all going to have to work harder to keep down the bad cholesterol so we don't die from a clogged heart. Two, the big pharmaceutical companies are going to make a lot more money selling prescriptions to keep down the bad cholesterol. The government is even recommending that doctors be aggressive about prescribing these pharmaceuticals.
You're not going to believe this. You think they will, Buzz?
The government decision makes the big pharmaceutical companies very happy.
Mm-hmm. Incredible!
In many cases, cholesterol can be controlled with diet and exercise.
Or a pill!
Or a pill,
or
if
a
you
pill.
Prefer.
I prefer a pill and a pill to shower with also.
Or a chair in the tub.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is you can now rocket into space for a very reasonable $1,000. The bad news is you have to meet with your lawyer and then die. A company called Space Services Incorporated is going back into business come September to deposit people's ashes way up there.
Hey, how about that?
1 gram of your ashes would be jettisoned into orbit. The first shipment of 150 remains goes up in just a couple of months.
Hey, Mom, can you spare a gram? I just need a G.
And there's discount pricing. A gram of ashes goes for a grand.
What if you're really feeling really good about yourself? You go, what the hell? Take an 8-ball up there.
Let's go, dude.
You can't go 8, but 7 grams, $5,300. So a little bit of a little price break there. The offer includes software for your family so they can locate your container of ashes in orbit.
Right. Come on.
At any given moment.
Wow.
We'll always have Paris. Paris Hilton has settled out of court her lawsuit against the Weasley Rick Solomon, who sold their sex tape on the internet.
Baby!
The deal is, she gets half the money, 400 grand, which she says she will donate to worthy charities. The very wealthy Paris Hilton says this is her...
What's the worthy charity?
But she hasn't said yet. She says there'll be more than one, and she's going to select what she believes are
her
worthy...
Her underpants drawer?
Worthy
what's
charity.
The worthy charity?
No, she's very wealthy, you see, so she doesn't need it. And she hopes to use this, she says, to turn this situation into something positive. Cameron Diaz, by the way...
She's probably going to, you know, for world hunger, probably, I would think so, you know?
Yeah.
So more people can eat.
Cameron Diaz is still refusing to comment on her topless tape, just on the web. And former Baywatch babe Gina Lee Nolan is reportedly concentrating on raising her son and, quote, wasn't really bothered by the sex tape.
Mark. That's the right attitude. In this she day and age, one. It just raises your profile.
That's right.
Among other things.
Well, Fox...
I'm starved.
Fox is now the pirate network. Executives at both ABC and NBC have this week accused Fox of stealing shows, stealing ideas, and of ruining television. Right. Yesterday, the NBC guy said Fox had turned from innovator to imitator. By the way, a long-dead comedian once said imitation is the sincerest form of television. But the ABC guy says if you have a script or an idea for a show, don't let Fox see it. When NBC announced a reality boxing show, Fox announced one right after that. When ABC said it would do a show called Wife Swap, Fox announced it would do a show called Trading Spouses. Uh-huh. The list goes on.
Fox has no comment while it waits for someone else to say something it can copy.
You know, like they all don't do it to each other.
Right. And meanwhile, let's check out what they've got for us, the great unwashed.
Very good.
Tonight.
What's on TV, Don?
On ABC,
yes.
Mike, I just got to say, this is a minivan driver's special.
Fantastic.
Listen to this lineup tonight. Who says they're not trying? All of these are reruns, incidentally.
Yes.
8 Simple Rules.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Dead John Ritter.
But Garner replaced him.
I'm with her. That's with Ben Stiller's wife.
Mm-hmm.
According to Jim.
There you go, the anchor.
And Less Than Perfect, which is the show with Andy Dick. And then their show NYPD 24/7, which is just like Cops, except they follow around New York cops.
Right.
CBS, they're bringing us Navy NCIS.
Yeah, which is a piggyback on another original idea.
Mm-hmm. And it's really Murder, She Wrote, except it's Mark Harmon instead of Angela Lansbury.
He's dreaming.
Then we have on CBS Big Brother, which they can't say is original because it was an idea that has worked around the country before it
around the world.
Got on here.
Right,
around the world.
Right,
I'm sorry,
right.
Buzz. And then at 10 o'clock, The Amazing Race. That might be the only...
At 10?
Yeah, 10 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, 10 o'clock.
That might be the only truly original one. Now, Fox tonight, wild card, because they have baseball.
Right.
They have the All-Star game. NBC, they really care. You get an 8 to 9 rerun of Last Comic Standing, where they're going to show you some of the crazy outtakes with the bad comedians who couldn't make it.
That and, show sucks.
And incidentally, they're not stealing that,
no.
Because American Idol has never run specials showing you the people that auditioned who really stink.
Absolutely.
They're following that up with an all-new competition of Last Comic Standing.
Oh, good.
And then they're following that up with a rerun of whatever Law and Order it is that's on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your big four networks. You know, why are they sniping at each other about stealing stuff? They all stink.
Yeah, last comic sucking.
Well, ABC's in fourth place, so they have reason to panic. And NBC now behind CBS, and Fox is gaining on NBC rather.
You know, if you want to get me to watch Last Comic Standing, follow Jay Moore until he goes back in his coffin.
Well, anyway, never mind what I just said.
They all steal.
Yes, they all do.
Well, that's not Fox's only problem. Things may be a little rough these days in the newsroom. Fox is angry about a new documentary about the cable news channel, a movie that won't even be shown in theaters.
Now, I read about this, and this is similar in a lot of ways to
this
the guy...
This is legit. This is as legit as it gets, I think.
We had the guy yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends on your viewpoint.
Right.
But we had the guy on yesterday who's doing the documentary about Michael Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's a guy doing a documentary about the Fox News channel,
mm-hmm.
about how fair and balanced they are.
Yeah,
Outfoxed,
right.
It's called. And it's only playing right now at New York University. But it's gotten attention because it uses Fox's own people and its own video against it. There's testimony from former employees who say they were coached to put a positive spin on the war. The movie has some memos. And there's tape of Bill O'Reilly saying he doesn't tell guests to shut up. Followed by a series of edited shut-ups from Bill, taken from numerous broadcasts.
Now here's
funny, funny stuff.
Here's an excerpt of Bill O'Reilly.
I'm a karma kind of guy. I'm an Eastern kind of guy, a wind chime kind of guy. That's me.
Okay, that was one of the outtakes.
I smoke marijuana every other day.
Or not outtakes, these are
no.
Just like extra things that they found.
Screw the establishment, use drugs, get a gun, call women bitches, hoes, disrespect everybody,
uh-huh.
and you'll still do okay.
Bill O'Reilly.
Follow me and smoke weed, take pills, drop out of school, kill people and drink.
Bill O'Reilly.
I'm gay, so I want, you know, gay marriage so I can do X, Y, and Z.
Now listen, this is unfair to take these out of context. What we really did is we went to Bill O'Reilly. We said, this is unfair, like a lot of things are unfair. Just give us one blanket statement.
On your philosophy of life.
Your turn.
Have a happy abortion for Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Bill.
Bill O'Reilly. Buzz?
Surprised us.
Buzz, what?
Yes.
What's next when we come right back?
You'll never believe the turn the indecency witch hunt has now taken.
Oh my God. More of the FCC stuff?
Kind of, yeah, very much so.
All right, we'll be right back. Hold on, what does Bill O'Reilly think about that? I know Bill O'Reilly must have a thought about the FCC. Gosh, he's opinionated,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, very.
From the Fox News Channel. All right, Bill O'Reilly, what about the FCC?
More German guys, leap over the counter and pound me.
I'm not sure he was real clear on that particular one.
See if you can find another one, Rob. Another one. I know we're running super late tonight, but just one more Bill O'Reilly thought. It doesn't necessarily have to be about the FCC.
You go right ahead and make out in front of my 3-year-old daughter. Go right ahead and do that.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, bro.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Promoting voluntary sterilization. The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, now again, here's our friend Buzz Girdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. The indecency witch hunt continues, and now they're even bleeping words on PBS. A new PBS drama produced by and starring Richard Dreyfuss has just had three words excised to adhere to the new FCC standards. Those standards would allow hefty fines to be levied against every station that carries the show. The Cop Shop, which co-stars Rosie Perez, Rita Moreno, Blair Brown, and Jay Thomas, is set to air on October 6th.
Oh, come on. You don't like the Cop Shop, Buzz?
I call that an all-star cast.
Rosie Perez, come on. Don't edit me. Come on.
How do you keep her from swearing? Dreyfuss is reportedly less than pleased to hear about the bleeping. He says the words, including the F word, should be embraced in much the same way the word is embraced by Vice President Dick Cheney.
I'll call you. In 2 hours. What about Bob?
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much.
And hey, kids, the Beatles are coming out with a new record. A stash of never-before-heard Beatles songs may have been found in an old suitcase at an Australian flea market. The stash is believed to contain a treasure trove of photos and stuff from the band, including tapes of new material. The Times of London says the suitcase may have belonged to one of the band's closest associates in the Abbey Road days.
I'm a Beatles fan. I don't know if I'm all for this now. You know, you
wouldn't be excited to hear that.
A lot of people are excited.
See, here's the thing. Didn't they come out with this junk a couple of years ago, Rob, when they all redid some tracks that John had partially done?
Yeah, but this is really cool. This is a suitcase they're thinking belonged to Mal Evans, their publicist. So this is stuff that he's held on to for a long time. This could be really cool.
He let go of it or lost it at some point. The current owner bought the suitcase. Case for $50. It could be worth hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Could have been a suitcase full of diamonds.
Experts have not yet examined
full of diamonds.
The contents. Here is a brief snippet of some of the lost Beatle tapes.
I was hoping.
Okay. Chicago, that darling, down that darling, down Chicago,
disappointing.
That's not the Beatles.
I'll show you.
Stop. These are the Beatles.
We'd have fist fights. And I'd end up at the short end of that stick. I took up karate.
It's John Lennon.
Because I wanted to kill my brother.
John Lennon. I
didn't know. Talking about Paul.
Now, here's a reason to get satellite radio in your car. The M&M channel. That's right, your favorite white rapper is getting his own station on the Sirius satellite.
I thought it was a candy channel.
Using his own work and that of other artists, including those on his own record label, Marshall Bruce Mathers says he hopes to create, quote, a cutting-edge hip-hop music and lifestyle channel.
That's good.
Sometimes
I think it'll work.
That's good, Jeremy.
Yeah. Sometimes he'll stop by to spin records and take phone calls. The channel does not yet have a name.
How about soon to be canceled? How about suck? How about anything Jeremy touches turns to a turd? How about Jeremy Coleman is the single reason I have 6XM satellite radios in my house and my cars and not the other one?
Amen, brother.
Think about that.
How about this? Zero share.
Yeah.
0.00, Mr. Plutarski.
Yeah. How about CC? CK. Career killer.
Gnarly, dude.
How about a secret sound?
Sure. Oh, there it is.
You'll hear it on tomorrow's show. The secret sound is coming back. This is a rejected secret sound. It's too impossible.
Can you give us a hint before the end of the show?
Yeah, I'll give you a hint.
All right.
It has to do with entertainment.
Fair enough.
That's your hint.
Yes, it does. Why don't you just spell it out?
Anyway, we're not using that for the contest. That's an impossible one that Rob came up with, and I just realized that. I promise I tell you before the end of the show, that's another promise broken.
Closing a DVD case.
We will have to get to it tomorrow.
Ejecting a cassette.
Here we go again.
What?
I just hate it. Secret sound.
You love the secret.
No, you just love knowing me not knowing. You love it so much.
Listen, if we had time today, I'd tell you today because even I thought that the big-headed
boy. No, I'm just thinking about the whole game. I better get ready.
Mike, listeners like it.
I better emotionally prepare.
All right, I'll give you a couple of minutes.
There's that even
couple
music.
Couple of seconds.
Right.
Your clue is entertainment. And I'll make it even more specific. home entertainment.
Fine.
What is it?
Rob what? Piercing his own ear.
No.
Which ear?
Which ear? That's entertaining.
Oh, we're sorry.
We'll tell you about it tomorrow. The tale will unfold tomorrow.
In sports, there are those in Chicago who still believe former Bears coach Mike Ditka can control the weather with his mood, so Iron Mike may become a senator. Quoting the former NFL coach, I'm getting excited about it.
Hello!
There's a website. Signatures are being collected on a petition to get him on the ballot.
Ditka.
Ditka. Think Jesse Ventura, Arnold, Reagan. Democrats like to think of Ditka as one of their own, but the Republicans in Illinois are desperate for a candidate to replace Seven of Nine's husband, who dropped out of the race after that sex scandal.
Right, that guy, whatever his name is, that said that
Jack Ryan.
He took Seven of Nine into sex clubs and wanted her to take her clothes off and get her picture taken.
Ditka has to join the Republican Party.
And finally, in Pittsburgh, a woman has pleaded no contest to charges she gave her son's 13-year-old friend some cigarettes, some time in front of a porn video, and a special favor. The 32-year-old was charged with indecent assault and corruption of minors.
Good heaven, no.
Yeah, she's facing 2 years in jail and 5 years probation. She told police she touched the boy on a regular basis and performed that favor while he was sleeping.
Oh,
I wasn't there, but I'm pretty sure he wasn't sleeping. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
No!
No! We have got to go. La la.
La la.
To all of you.
There's a level on this thing.
There we go. We have four. Oh, there it is.
Listen, who do we want to thank today? We want to thank Dutch Boyd.
Mm-hmm. Dutch Boyd.
From the ESPN World Series of Poker. He was on the show today.
Big Chuck.
Yeah.
Charlie's interview.
Some guy that was on the Fox show, The Casino. Oh!
Bill Godwin.
Yeah, Bill Godwin. I'll watch The Amazing Race tonight, because tomorrow we'll have the losers on from The Amazing Race. Plus, tomorrow we'll be giving away multiple trips to Atlantic City to go to an HBO fight, all transportation included. That's it. Got to go. See you tomorrow. Good day to you, sir.
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 And you.
How about a nice haircut?
You have a nice haircut, Rob. Very pretty haircut. Lovely. Good night.
Good night.
Beth Ann, what do you say? A C-plus today.
Oh, come on now.
C-plus. Okay, B-minus today.
There you go.
B-minus today. That's it. We got to go. it's all right here.
Yeah.
See, I'm looking over here. I'm sorry, folks. I'm looking over here to press a button when it's really right here. Okay, now.
All right, use the napkin.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.